And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerror is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions of folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerror radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Ohio Republican Congressman Bob Ney says he will resign before sentencing in January for selling his influence to lobbyist Jack Abramoff. With a reaction from the White House, live now, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Harley, in no uncertain terms, the White House says Congressman Ney ought to resign. But spokesman Tony Snow is quick to make the case that corruption in office is by no means a monopoly of Republicans.
What Congressman Ney did is not a reflection of the Republican Party. It's a reflection of Congressman Ney, and he ought to step down.
And in a veiled reference to Democrat Congressman William Jefferson, Snow said, if you've got money in your freezer or skeletons in your closet, it's incumbent on everybody to behave in a model way. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
House Majority Leader John Boehner says Democrats have put House pages in danger over party politics. Ohio's Boehner told a crowd in Iowa Democratic operatives knew about the inappropriate emails sent to young male pages, but instead of moving to stop it,
Democrat operatives were shopping this information around for some time.
Boehner expects to testify before the Mark Foley or about the scandal next week before the House Ethics Committee. Says he's looking forward to that. It may be nothing at all. It may be well beyond any statute of limitations, so there may be no legal case, but a preliminary look is being taken into a camping trip led by Arizona Congressman Jim Colby 10 years ago, a trip that included a couple of congressional pages. There are no allegations of anything untoward so far. The search for a young woman missing from the University of Vermont is over. Michelle Gardner Quinn's body found dumped in a gorge about 20 miles from the school. There is a suspect.
It appears that Mr. Rooney and Michelle met when she asked him to borrow a cell phone. On that Friday night, early Saturday morning.
Burlington Police Chief Thomas Tremblay. Takes a pretty good sense of humor to enjoy this song in Buffalo, New York today. On the other hand, most of the folks there can only hear it on a battery-operated radio or out in the car. Governor George Pataki says electricity is out for 70% of the people in Buffalo.
Crews from all over will continue to work through the weekend, night and day, consistent with their safety requirements. But their estimate at this point is that, in all likelihood, it will take into next week.
It's 45 degrees there right now and won't hit freezing tonight in Buffalo. The Nobel Peace Prize goes to Muhammad Yunus, whose Grameen Bank has helped Bangladeshis get tiny business loans.
So many people do not know about microcredit and its promise, and I think this will serve to educate the world about the potential of microcredit.
Alex Counts is head of the Grameen Foundation, planning to expand to 22 countries. Wall Street, the Dow gained almost 13 points today, the Nasdaq up 11 points, oil prices $58.68 a barrel, up 82 cents. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver of number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet. You know I can't go anywhere without supporting my pit crew.
Step on it, Sterling. Only got 30 seconds.
That's my crew. Always keeps me on track. So as I was saying, my team at Waste Management has great job opportunities for drivers, mechanics, and technicians.
Go, go, go!
All right. Call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS to learn more.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green. Think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
Okay, class, it's rollback season, which means we get to make
piggy banks!
Who remembers why we make piggy banks?
Because rollback season is about saving on the things we need.
Now, are there a lot of reasons?
10,000. No way! It is 10,000. Miss Russell, is that true?
Yes, Maddie, it's true.
Okay, I've got some questions about the Tooth Fairy.
It's rollback season at Walmart. We've rolled back the prices on 10,000 of your favorite items. Stop in today and save big.
Friday the 13th, all day today. Are we having fun yet?
Do you have triskaidekaphobia? It's the fear of the number 13, and for those who have it, today is a day they'd rather skip.
They just might be very, very cautious during the day, which will lead them to not have a normal day.
Or, says Washington Hospital Center behavioral health expert Dr. Desi Griffin, they might practice some elaborate ritual to banish the dreaded number.
Count 14 steps for every time they walk down the hall, or sort of erase away the 13th.
She says superstitions sometimes run in families. If your mom hated Friday the 13th, you probably do too. Adrian Mitchell for CBS News, Washington.
Witnesses abound to the ghosts in a museum in Covington, Kentucky, so they say. Civil War soldiers roam the yard outside. Inside the Beringer Crawford Museum, a mysterious man sometimes sits at a desk. A woman walks around upstairs. There are paranormal investigators who are investigating there right now. Harley Carnes, CBS.
Live, local, and left is Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the day of the week we love the most. The fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, and it happens this is the Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. Oh, my goodness, it's your lucky day today. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure that there's a good reason. We want to welcome Lisa West back. She is among the living again. Yay! And thank again Michelle Shockley for doing yeoman's duty and filling in for Lisa. Well, let me give you the usual information. And that is, I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. You can always join the conversation. It is completely toll-free. The number is 349-1320 if you're outside our area code. It is 866-626-1320. So if you're outside the 916 area code, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. That will become increasingly important as the days get shorter, so that if you are where we go into a pattern change and you can't hear us as well, you can always pick us up on the net, and you can email me, enid@kctc.com. Well, I want to begin with a bunch of information. First of all, some of you are going to ask me about the Air America bankruptcy filing, so let me get that out of the way first. Apparently, they have been trying to negotiate with a particular creditor. It has to do with an old debt. The negotiations weren't successful. And Air America has announced that it has filed for Chapter 11 protection in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York. However, they've also said that they have an infusion of new money. And as far as we are aware, the programming will continue. We are not part of Air America. We carry their programming. We are KCTC Radio, or AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We are an Intercom-owned radio station, and our news affiliation is CBS. And we continue regardless of what happens to Air America. So I just want you to know that here we are getting our feet wet, relatively new, having been a music station previously and now doing progressive talk, and we will go forward. So I want you to rest assured. And I also want you to remember that United Airlines was in bankruptcy for years, and it continued to fly those friendly skies. So you could always book a flight on United Airlines, and you can still book a flight on United Airlines, it isn't an issue at all. So if you have any questions about that, however, I'm happy to answer them. I don't know a huge amount about it, but 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So from our point of view, things continue on as before, if that answers your questions. Even though the right wing is just standing there thrilled to pieces, hoping against hope that we will go away as quickly as we arrive, but no such luck. You're stuck with us for a while. And the more you tell your friends, 3 to 5 people every single day, that we are here and that you can finally find radio that's smart and funny and provocative and compelling, then I think even more better things will happen. But as it is, we are starting to get traction. We're starting to do advertising, and you can start to feel something really build. And the revenues, I guess advertisers are finding that AM 1320 is a very successful way for them to advertise. And we are just thrilled because the people who listen to us, it turns out, are what you call high demo people. They're smart, they're educated, they're high income, and so on. And even if anybody listening is not in that category, I think the longer you listen to AM 1320, the longer you listen to Enid Live, the smarter and richer you will become in all ways. I got an email from one of you. There was a big piece in the Bee today about Arnold. Yesterday was a big piece about Phil. Today a big piece about Arnold. And it gives his education, it gives all of his statistics, says when he was born, that he's 59, that his education, it said, is a bachelor's degree in business and economics, University of Wisconsin. Well, it's a bachelor's degree. It's not, I don't think it's business and economics. It's like gym fitness management or something is what it really is, although they made it sound a lot, grander than it really is. But even the Bee didn't go on to check what his degree is in. So if any reporters from the Bee are listening, go and check Arnold's degree. It's not business and economics. It's a kind of gym fitness management from the website that I saw. Well, it's heating up between, even more, if you can believe that, between Doolittle and Charlie Brown and Deep Doo-Doo Doolittle. Listen to this. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe what's going on here. Apparently, Doolittle was trolling for a job for his wife, the Mrs. 15%, the one who rakes in 15%. Well, he's trying to put her to work. He's trying to turn her into a cash machine, a cash cow, every which way he can. And he was trying to get her a job with Jack Abramoff. So, a day after a hot campaign debate in which John Deep Doo Doo Doolittle said there was nothing unethical in his relationship with Jack Abramoff, a new email surfaced. And this now is David Whitney, who heads up the Bee's Washington Bureau, and this is in today's Bee. A new email surfaced indicating that Doolittle was hoping that his wife could go to work for the disgraced lobbyist as early as the year 2000. The email, part of a report released in Washington by the Democratic staff of the Senate Finance Committee, came as Doolittle and his Democratic challenger, Charlie Brown, were dissecting the results of their Wednesday night slugfest, writes Whitney, who was one of the questioners in that slugfest. I didn't think it was enough of a slugfest, to tell you the truth. Everyone said, oh, it was a nasty fight. Believe me, for my money, it wasn't nasty enough. I would have liked to have seen it get really down and dirty. In any event, Doolittle said he had not hit Brown hard enough on being a chameleon liberal, while Brown said that money had been pouring into his campaign from new supporters since the event. So the debate has triggered an onslaught of donations to Charlie's campaign. But listen, don't rest on your laurels. If you were thinking about volunteering time, money, effort, something, ideas to Charlie's campaign, please continue to do it, because I think Doolittle is so arrogant and so well ensconced in the district that you cannot take Charlie's victory for granted. It'll probably be close. And you don't know to what extent Doolittle would, since he has put no limits on the ability to which he has allowed himself to be corrupted, I imagine that he doesn't want to lose this job. You know, he's trying to put his old lady to work, and she can't get a job with Abramoff, but she's happy to take that 15%. So, you know, maybe I have a fanciful imagination, but I'm thinking that Doolittle would stop at nothing to keep his job, including a well-placed hacker on some of those e-voting machines, possibly. Remember, blackboxvoting.org took two 54-year-old women with $12 worth of tools that they bought in the hardware store and four spare minutes on their hands, and in 4 minutes they were able to get into and out of voting machines, alter the tallies, and never leave any kind of a trace that they had done anything. So, just think about that. Would you put it beyond Doolittle? I wouldn't. I mean, this is a man who has allowed himself to be corrupted in every way. What's one more corruption to keep his job since he can't unload his wife on Jack Abramoff anymore? Anyway, Doolittle regrets. This is his morning after regret from the debate that he had not hit Charlie Brown hard enough as a chameleon liberal. Like, like, is that the same as being a corrupt human being? Is that the same as being as being bought and paid for by a disgraced lobbyist? Is that even in the same paragraph? And he wants to hit Charlie because Barbara Boxer donated $5,000 from her PAC or something to Charlie. So he's going to make that a campaign issue. Do you think that this works? Are people that stupid that they don't realize how corrupt he is and that he thinks he's going to get himself off the hook by saying, well, but Charlie got money from Barbara Boxer. Well, yes, but is that against the law exactly? So in any event, after the debate, our online contributions went crazy, Charlie Brown said. He said many contributors commented that, quote, Doolittle came off as a whining lunatic. Well, that would be a kind way of putting it. Yet Brown acknowledged that the two-hour debate in which Doolittle hit him hard over his membership in the ACLU might have cost him a small slice of GOP votes he was hoping to capture from Doolittle. The email that was released was written by an Abramoff associate and former Doolittle staffer to his boss Doolittle. In it, the staffer relates that Doolittle is very, very excited and appreciative about the possibility of his wife, Julie, going to work for an Abramoff nonprofit called Toward Tradition. John T. Doolittle knows of the group and would like to talk to you about it, says the email. Doolittle spokesperson, campaign spokesman, said, Julie never did any work for Toward Tradition, never was offered a job, and that, quote, the Doolittles have no recollection of it. They don't remember. They don't remember that they were trying to troll for a job for Julie. So what was a girl to do? She couldn't get a job with Abramoff's, the disgraced lobbyist Abramoff's, one of his nonprofits. So what could she do? She's just got to do something. A girl's got to pay for whatever a girl's got to pay for. So she's got to rake off that 15% off the top. She's just skimming it right off the top. She's got to do something, and it's better than getting dressed and going to work every day. You can stay home in your jammies and your furry bunny slippers. You don't have to do anything. You just rake off that 15% as it comes through the transom. Now, here is where it gets even more juicy. In a related campaign matter, Sacramento attorney John M. Poswell. Now, remember, John has filled in for me, and he's a great friend of AM 1320s. John M. Poswell announced yesterday that he was starting to run ads against Doolittle, accusing him of being a draft dodger during the Vietnam War. Doolittle said, you know, he would have been happy to serve. But guess what? By the time he got back from all of his deferments and his religious deferment and being a, the war was over. So what's a guy to do? How can you serve in a war that's already over? But he would have served. If that war hadn't been over, he would have served. Never mind that when Oakland asked him to come in and said that he had to come in for his induction physical, he wouldn't go. He did not show up. He ran. He cut and ran. That's what Doolittle did. Well, I'm going to change it. John T. Deep Doolittle did not cut and run when he was ordered to appear for his induction physical in Oakland. He cut and waddled. That's what he did. He cut and waddled. Did you notice that he kind of waddles? It seems to me that he does. In any event, the Doolittle campaign fired back its charges against Charlie Brown, noting that he had received $5,000 contribution from Senator Barbara Boxer. Well, we're thrilled that he has, but somehow that is in the same court. For the Doolittle people, that's like something that you should go to jail for, I guess. Do you have any thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So here it is. Poswell's running ads on his own dime, charging that Doolittle was a draft dodger during the Vietnam War. Poswell said that he's paid for 30 spots to air. The advertising has nothing to do and was not coordinated with the Brown campaign, he said. The ad relies on information that Poswell was able to obtain through the Freedom of Information Act, and we have shared that information with you here. In fact, John has as well, showing that Doolittle has failed to report for a pre-induction physical and then magically, miraculously scrambled to obtain a religious deferment to serve as a Mormon missionary at a time when the Church of the Latter-day Saints was advising its members to do their military service first and then do your missionary work second. And Doolittle had a couple of student deferments, and those had run out. And now Oakland ordered him to appear for his pre-induction physical, and he never showed up. Cut and waddled. That's what he did. Cut and waddled. So John Paswall is running ads on his own dime, having nothing whatever to do, not coordinated with the Brown campaign, although I don't imagine they're too unhappy about it, letting people know exactly what a support the troop guy Doolittle is. Representative John Doolittle likes to wrap himself in the American flag, says the ad, but did you know that as 53,000 United States soldiers were dying in Vietnam, Doolittle turned his back on his country, says the ad. Oh, I like this. Asked during the debate whether he was a draft dodger, Doolittle said that he supported the war and intended to enter the military after his missionary service, but that, gosh, the conflict was over by the time he returned. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about this? This latest news that Doolittle tried to get Abramoff to hire his wife, a new email that says that. Ooh, another nail in Doolittle's coffin. That John Paswall, on his own dime and with Freedom of Information Act, information that he has developed on his own, where Doolittle was ordered to report for a pre-induction physical and refused to do so, is now running ads to that effect, talking about how Doolittle likes to wrap himself in the American flag, but that as 53,000 U.S. soldiers were dying in Vietnam, did you know that Doolittle turned his back on his country? What do you think is going to happen? And suddenly the contributions are starting to come in for Charlie Brown. Barbara Boxer, $5,000, of which Doolittle is trying to make that sound like it's a high illegality to accept a $5,000 donation from a sitting U.S. senator. What are your thoughts? You think it's going to fly? Are the constituents in that district that dumb and that malleable? 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with the newly returned and now feeling almost perky, Lisa West.
Almost perky. Well, here I have a quote. I think it was my great-great-great-grandmother. I'm not really sure, but this is for Doolittle. His mother should have thrown him away and kept the stork, Mae West. That's for Doolittle. So I must be Philip Berkey because I can slam him. I love it. Eastbound I-80 just east of Truxell Road. We have a three-car crash over there. Southbound I-5, eastbound I-80, a pedestrian wandering aimlessly. Doolittle's brother. Eastbound I-80 just west of Rio Linda Boulevard, a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento. Left Channel.
Hello, citizens.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $100. $750. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Elm in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Twenty-four on the Friday 13th, fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation, 349-1320. If you have never called a radio talk show before, think about doing it. You could probably alter the dialogue in some way. You might alter people's thoughts, maybe it's something none of us had thought about. You will reach more people than you will probably ever meet in the whole rest of your life. And it won't cost you a penny to do it. It's always toll-free. So if you're in the 916 area code, it's 349-1320. If you're not, 866-626-1320. And what we're talking about, one of the things we're talking about, is this revelation of email traffic that was trying to get a job for Doolittle's wife from Jack Abramoff, who is now a disgraced lobbyist. And also, Doolittle refuses to return any of the monies that he got from Abramoff. And it looks like a pay-to-play kind of a situation, where whenever he did Abramoff's bidding, somehow the cash register ka-chinged right into his wife's pocket and into the family coffers. And you know, it may not be illegal, but I do think it's unethical. She gets 15% of everything that he takes in terms of contributions. So there, and people who do professional fundraising feel that it is unethical to accept indulge in that kind of an arrangement. You may have other thoughts about it. Also, Arnold, it still says in the B, and they ought to check it, that he's got a bachelor's degree in economics and business. We think it's in gym management, but they ought to check that out. And in today's USA Today front page story, Arnold is swapping agendas for political resurgence. In other words, he's regaining his popularity as he embraces Democrats. That's what it's saying. Last year, Schwartzy looked very much like the Republican that he is. He waded into confrontations with the Democratic legislature and unions of public employees. He proposed caps on state spending, eliminating legislators' long-lasting power to design their districts. And this year, he's all but become a Democrat. I think only until the election is over, and then I think you are going to rue the day. He's already shown you. Everybody loved him enough for him to get elected when it came to running against, or when it came to the recall. They hated him. He had really low approval ratings, and he got roundly trounced on the special election, and now everybody's in love with him again. However, Phil is in trouble. And I don't think there's any question about it. In the paper today, they're talking about how the unions have shifted on Angelides' ads. So it means that the prison guards, for example, say that it will use its funds, quote, in other venues. What does that tell you? Tells you that they don't want to waste their money, is the way I'm reading it. California's most prominent public employee unions signaled a shift in their campaign resources, leading Republicans to chortle that the unions are bailing out on the state Democratic Party's ticket's topper, gubernatorial candidate Phil Angelides. One of the unions that endorsed Angelides, the California Correctional Peace Officer, you know, the prison guard, CCPOA, released $1.3 million Of the $5 million in airtime it had reserved for the final 2 weeks of the campaign leading up to the November 7 election. So they're just not going to piss away their money. That's it. They've released $1.3 million. I don't know, maybe they'll do more as it gets closer, but they had reserved $5 million. A spokesman for eight other unions said Thursday they formed an independent committee to back Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate John Garamendi. So what is at play here? What is at stake is the fear among Democrats that if Angelides isn't going to do well, then the down ticket candidates are not going to do well either. What are your thoughts about that? Is it going to matter to you one way or the other? If you decide you're going to vote for Arnold, does that mean you're going to vote for McClintock for lieutenant governor? That would be a poor choice. Who you really want is John Garamendi. He would be a good choice. He was very good as insurance commissioner. What are you going to do when it comes to insurance commissioner? I'm really thinking about going with the Republican candidate, Poizner, because Cruz Bustamante is taking money from the insurance companies he's supposed to regulate. And he has promised to give that money back when caught taking the money, but so far he hasn't given too much money back, and he keeps taking more of it from the insurance companies that he is supposed to regulate. So is that a really good sign? I don't think that's such a hot sign. So I am very sorry to see this happen. I suppose a miracle is still possible, but I don't think anybody is holding their breath for it. And I want to give you this information. This is from Bill Durston. Bill Durston, who is the candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, is going to be hosting a town hall meeting on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 10/17, at the Folsom Community Center from 7 to 9 p.m. The address of the Folsom Community Center is 50 Natoma Street, Folsom. Everybody is welcome to attend. Durston invited his opponent, Dan Lundgren, to debate, but guess what? Dan Lundgren couldn't make it, not coming, has a subsequent event. So if you have more information, go to call 622-VOTE or 961-8877. So that's happening on Thursday night. One of you sent me this. This is from the San Jose Mercury News, formerly a Knight Ridder newspaper, and I think a McClatchy paper maybe got sold. I don't remember if it was one of the newspapers that got sold, but a very fine newspaper. And full disclosure, I have sometimes written for it. Well, guess who they're endorsing? Well, they are, let's put it this way, guess who they're not endorsing? They are not endorsing Doolittle, and they are not, and very pointedly not endorsing Richard Pombo. And I don't think that, maybe I'm wrong about that, maybe the Merc is in some area that is vaguely served by Pombo or Doolittle, I'm not sure. I think no, but I'm not sure about that. But what they're saying is so pointed. 5 years ago, Doolittle and Pombo interfered with an investigation by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation into a failed savings and loan owned by Texas businessman Charles Hurwitz. Have you heard about this? Who is a major GOP donor. In what an FDIC spokesman called, quote, a seamy abuse of the legislative process, both Doolittle and Pombo introduced sensitive documents into the congressional record that would damage the government's case against this big GOP donor. So 5 years ago, these two cretins, these two corrupt men, these two thugs, these two political thugs, Cut and Waddle, Doolittle and Pombo, interfered with an investigation by the FDIC into a failed savings and loan owned by big GOP donor and Texas businessman Charles Hurwitz. In what an FDIC spokesman called a seamy abuse of the legislative process, Doolittle and Pombo introduced sensitive documents into the congressional record that would damage the government's case because it now became public. In a practice that Congress should ban, Pombo encourages industries that lobby his committee to pay staff junkets to places like Atlantic City. Those expenses totaled almost $200,000 between 2003 and 2005. More than 40 businesses and trade groups hosted a grand Pombo-palooza at the 2004 National GOP Convention. So Pombo encourages industries that lobby his committee to pay staff junkets. You want a lobbyist committee, you got to pay. You got to pay to play. Is that sound like a democracy to you, or the best government that money can buy? Pombo chairs the House Resources Committee, which regulates Indian affairs. He received $7,500 in campaign donations from Jack Abramoff, who has pleaded guilty to defrauding an Indian tribe he represented. And Pombo got $30,000 from clients of Abramoff. Although Pombo has consistently denied being lobbied by Abramoff, the Associated Press reported this week that in the mid-90s, Abramoff twice billed clients for discussions he had with Pombo. So Pombo's not only a thief, he is a liar as well. Over the past 5 years, Doolittle, Deep Doo-Doo Doolittle, has accepted $140,000 in donations to his campaign and related funds from Jack Abramoff, his associates, and Abramoff clients, including Indian tribes, and that's according to the Sacramento Bee. Both Doolittle and Pombo also put relatives on campaign payrolls, a practice that, while not illegal, should be discouraged. Doolittle's wife, Julie, in a blatant end run around campaign finance laws, has worked as a campaign consultant for her husband, charging a 15% commission on contributions that has netted her more than $180,000, almost $200,000, since 2001. Two clients were Abramoff's lobbyist firm and Abramoff's restaurant Signatures, where he plied members of Congress with free meals. So that would be a way to launder the pay for play. In other words, if Doolittle did something on behalf of an Abramoff client, well, the cash register would ring right into Julie's pocket that somehow she did some consulting, even though very often it appeared that she did nothing at all except be a happy receptacle for the money to pour into. Here's what the San Jose Mercury News concludes. Doolittle and Pombo embody Washington's incestuous political culture. By throwing them out, voters would signal the need for change. So we would like to see those two thrown out. We would like to see Charlie become the new our new congressman from the 4th Congressional District, and I think he's got a good chance to take it. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, our traffic southbound 99 just south center of 50, right there by, you know where the octopus is? It's nice and slow. We have a three-car crash there. Southbound I-5 just north of Laguna Boulevard, there's a disabled vehicle. Our hit and run, Atlantic Street and Harding Boulevard, eastbound 50 just west of Sandstown, westbound 50 just east of I-5, it looks like. Enid Live will continue. I'm not sure what the current temperature is. Actually, I don't really care because of the way I feel. You know what I'm saying? I think it's 80. There we are. At AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Bring the metal through the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We all. Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Subliminal mind, the man.
stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
To tell you what it's all about. Ooh, the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. It is the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live, Hour 1. And there's so much to talk about, many things that I haven't had a chance to talk about during the weekend. We are going to get there. We're starting with politics. We're starting with this new revelation that Doolittle tried to get his wife a job with Jack Abramoff, which only makes him look stinkier. And then the other revelation is that our very own John Boswell, an attorney who under the Freedom of Information Act found out all about Doolittle's draft-dodging ways, how he was ordered to appear in Oakland for a pre-induction physical, and he refused to do it. Doolittle just, he blew it off. He didn't even show up. He cut and waddled. and Boswell, on his own dime, not coordinated with the Brown campaign, the Charlie Brown campaign is going to run ads to that effect. I think that's just hilarious. So I think it's heating up, and it's not looking as good for Doolittle, but do not count your chickens before they hatch. And this particular chicken is serving in Congress, and he's not going quietly or gently into that good night. 349-1320, 866-620-61320, but being a fabulous Friday, we have lots and lots of things to talk about. Dan, in Chico. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Enid. How are you this afternoon?
I am very well, thank you.
Hey, I agree with you about our special interests, and I think that this is just business as usual between both of the parties, and I am really concerned about this. I think that it's poisoning politics more and more every day, and I'm wondering how we can put an end to this.
Well, we could finance campaigns. You know, that would be the best way of doing it, because the minute these guys get into office, it's dialing for dollars. They not only have to finance the next campaign, but they have to bring in money. And if they want certain positions within their own parties, they got to bring in enough money to support the party. So it's $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. If you want to chair a prestigious committee, you've got to bring in that money. And where are you going to get it? You're going to whore yourself out to get it. How do you keep yourself honest in the face of those pressures?
Well, obviously you cannot, and I would like nothing better than to see every one of our Congress people gotten rid of at this point because of this, and probably most of the Senate, maybe even the president.
Well, let me tell you, Paul Krugman in the New York Times, he's an economist, and he thinks, looking at the numbers, he thinks a levy could break here. He says he thinks that it could be a big landslide for Democrats, but nobody better rest on their haunches or their laurels. Dan, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Well, let me share with you what Paul Krugman does think. And I want to say something else. You know, one of the things I've done here is I've been kind of hard on Phil and the campaign. and trying to kickstart them into looking like they're alive and breathing. And I guess I'm going to have to stop doing it because I'm a little sad that the unions have shifted on Angelides. That means they don't think he can do it. They think that he's not going to be able to bring it home, and they're putting the money into down ballot, some of the down ballot races. So I am feeling bad for Phil because I thought he would make a better governor than Arnold. I think Arnold is a smoke and mirrors guy. And I said that in the beginning. And the more I know of Arnold and the more I see about Arnold, the more I think that that is true. 349-1320. And I think you're going to have an awakening with Arnold like everybody has had with Dickey. The more we see of Dickey, the less there is that meets the eye. But there's no way to talk anybody into it. All of you believe, or most of you, enough of you believe that that Dickey was the right guy, and enough of you are going to hold your nose and vote for Arnold. So there you have it. There's nothing I can say, I guess, although I keep trying to do it. 349-1320, joining us, our friend John Poswell. Hi, John. I'm so thrilled that you have joined us. I read about you this morning in the Sacramento Bee and what you're doing, Ray Deep Doo 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 Little. And for those of you just tuning in, John Poswell is an attorney who, under the Freedom of Information Act, found out that John Doolittle didn't just cut and run. He cut and waddled away from serving in Vietnam. Tell us what you're up to.
Well, I guess you know, if we want to put it in military talk, not that he'd understand it, but I guess the guy went AWOL, essentially. He was ordered, you know, to report to a pre-induction physical, and all of us who remember the draft back in the 70s, the 60s and 70s, we knew when we got that pre-induction physical, that meant, you know, the draft notice was around the corner. And lo and behold, we find with the Freedom of Information Act, I got his records from Washington, and they were kind enough to also include an explanation of them. And otherwise, I think all these years anyone has ever seen any of these things have missed the fact that he actually is listed after having been ordered to report for a pre-induction physical. Next to his name and next to the report, the Selective Service had listed FTR. Which, you know, who knew what that meant, except that they were kind enough to explain to me that FTR meant that he failed to report. He didn't show up when ordered.
His alarm clock didn't go off that morning?
What's that?
His alarm clock didn't go off that morning?
Well, he was busy trying to arrange something else to get him out of the draft, and he was able, within a six-week period from the time they declared him 1A for failing to show up, and eligible to be drafted with his very low lottery number, within 6 weeks he had managed somehow to put together that he was going to be leaving the country as a divinity student and to get deferred for 2 full years out of the military until the Vietnam War basically died down back in about around 73, and then he came apparently back to the country. And
well, he's saying, though, John, that he would have served, but you know what? Morabili dictu, the war was over by the time he came back.
I know. You know, that's the thing about wars. You know, they just don't really fit into your schedule. You know, but the real thing, and a lot of people said, you know, hey, you know, a lot of us tried to get out of the draft and did everything we could to get out of the draft, and people went to Canada, and Bill Clinton went to England, and, well, yeah, but... you know, John Doolittle wraps himself in the flag and talks about people dying in Vietnam for the flag. Well, it turns out, you know, that he left the country too and went off, and it wasn't convenient for him to be involved. And he said, well, you know, his duty to God, he was once quoted saying, was more important. And I can understand that, but, you know, have the guts then to, you know, declare yourself a conscientious objector or whatever. Don't just hide all this stuff.
But, John, why do you expect him to start telling the truth now?
Well, we're not talking about telling the truth now. We're talking about the guy didn't tell the truth when he was a young man.
Well, and he seems to have... Yes, that's exactly right. And the Bee is reporting that on your dime, your very own dime, you're running ads that detail his military service or lack thereof, or detail that he cut and waddled.
Yeah, well, they started running yesterday morning on KHI, which is the station that is for the foothills. You know, it's the voice of the foothills, I think they call it. And it's in Placer County and El Dorado County. It's very hard to get coverage for just those two counties where you're not, you know, broadcasting down the Bay Area or something. So that's why we went with that. And also because frankly, we're trying to reach, you know, people who in the district who are conscientious people, who are Republicans, who are consider themselves conservative, and they just need to understand that this guy is a hypocrite. And when he had an opportunity to serve his country, unlike Charlie Brown, he had other things to do. But he can criticize people that are in the military, and he's very anxious to send people off to war, like Charlie Brown's son is in Iraq for the fourth tour. But this guy never served. Not only did he never serve, he failed to report when ordered.
How much is this costing you, this effort of running radio ads? And we want to remind you that we have a radio station, too, so you can run ads on our station,
well,
too.
You know what?
Maybe we're too expensive.
I don't want to be preaching to the crowd, so to speak, or to the choir, and I really, truly want to reach, my neighbors. I'm up here, and I'm sorry I was late calling you, but I can't get off my tractor up here in Placer County that fast. But my neighbors and the people I deal with up here in this county are conservative people, are Republicans, and I think if they know the truth about this guy, that they will, and many of them have already told me, they're not voting for him. Now, they didn't say they would vote for a Democrat or they'd vote for Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown's a conservative Democrat, I would consider, and I think all of us are much more conservative fiscally, you know, with budget issues than Doolittle and Bush. But they may not vote for Charlie Brown, but there are Republicans for Brown. But then there's a lot of people who are hardcore Republicans who say, I just can't stomach this guy. I am not going to vote for anybody.
John, how much are you going to? How much is this costing you out of your pocket?
Well, this first set of ads is only running, around $500 or so.
So it's not too bad.
It's not that expensive.
Did you watch the debate, and you have any thoughts about the debate?
I get it. I mean, obviously it was designed that nobody could see it.
It streamed live, so if you could get it on the web, on the net.
I certainly read about it, and I heard a lot of people have called in, to various stations about it, and it certainly sounds like... what it comes down to, I think, it's like that interview that Sacramento Bee, Dave Whitney, did with Doolittle, that appeared in the Bee in his own words where they ran the whole thing. This guy is not used to being questioned, about anything. His responses are so bad, and he's so defensive.
Well, I think you are exactly right. I think he was so I was amazed at how revealing it was. He was so testy, yeah. And he was so arrogant, and he was kind of condescending and shrill. And it really didn't work for him. I didn't think. I thought Charlie did a great job. All right, you live up there, and we're gonna have to take a break here in a second. But you live up there. Tell me, what is your thought? Are you getting the sense that the tide has turned, and particularly with the news today, Doolittle tried to get his wife a job with Abramoff,
right.
And when that didn't work, she just raked in that 15%. Why get out of your pajamas when you don't have to, in your bunny slippers, when you can just rake in the money?
And what's wonderful is that quote also at the debate where he talked about, now they're attacking my poor wife. Remember Richard Nixon with the checker speech? My wife, Pat, she doesn't have a mink coat. She only has a Republican
cloth coat, right.
It was the same thing.
Right.
What a whiner.
What a whiner is right, but I wouldn't put hacking the e-voting machines beyond him. But what do you have any thought? Do you feel like things are I have a feeling that Charlie can take it. I hope I'm right.
I do too. And here's the other strange thing that Doolittle, I think, is running such a terrible campaign because he's frankly a terrible candidate, and he can't, he can't come to the district. We never see him up here. Nobody gets to talk to him. And the other thing about his candidacy, it showed, 80% had name ID. He has name identification with 80% up here, and Charlie Brown initially, early on, had like 20%. But he was neck and neck with Doolittle, which told you that, that people don't like Doolittle. They know him and don't like him. The more people that know him, the more they don't like him. But the strangest thing, what Doolittle campaign has done is they've run all of these ads, and they keep saying Charlie Brown this, Charlie Brown that, Charlie Brown this. Now everybody knows there's a guy named Charlie Brown running against Doolittle because of Doolittle's ads.
Absolutely, my point. And they're running the ads on our air, for example, and we're a progressive radio station.
Right.
They're doing it. They've deliberately targeted the radio stations where the pro Charlie Brown ads are running, and they have mentioned they have done Charlie a terrific favor.
Well, I think so too. But that's what you just said is why why I'm running it on. on KI right now. They're starting out on these, and I may be increasing them both there and other places.
Well, John, we're going to have to take a break now, but I am thrilled that you're doing it, and I loved reading about it in the paper. And as more develops, I hope that you'll keep us posted.
I will.
John Poswell, thank you. Thank you so much. Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Woo, Enid, there's quite a bit of traffic on this Friday the 13th. People rushing to get away from it? I'm not really sure. But we do have several hit and runs as we are the capital of California. Capital hit and run as well as the capital. Folsom Boulevard, it looks like Auburn Folsom and Angle, we have a hit and run. One of the Atlantic Street and Harding Boulevard. Westbound 50 just west of 65th Street. Eastbound I-80 at Norwood. All hit and runs turned into three and four car crashes. Also westbound 50 just east of Ponderosa and eastbound I-80 just west of Trexel. Enid, oh, we have an animal in a roadway. What is this? A dog trying to jump over a vehicle. Get down, Schwarzenegger. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Now, Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. It's full frontal radio.
We set up the morning retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's left channel.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The money and the gifts have caught up to another congressman.
Republican leaders pushed him, saying there is no place for him in this Congress.
And Mother Nature's caught up with Buffalo.
Mother Nature sure threw the people of Western New York a curveball this Friday the 13th.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Lou Malianno. Trips, tickets, meals, money, lots of money, and Ohio Congressman Bob Ney pleads guilty. At the White House, spokesman Tony Snow.
What Congressman Ney did is not a reflection of the Republican Party. It's a reflection of Congressman Ney, and he ought to step down.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein says Ney promises to step down to clean out his desk over the next couple of weeks.
He pleaded guilty at U.S. District Court here to fraud and conspiracy charges, accepting tens of thousands of dollars in gifts and contributions from lobbyist Jack Abramoff in exchange for congressional favors. The Justice Department is recommending a 27-month prison term. Ney's sentence will be handed down in January. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Another finger for the accusers in the Mark Foley scandal. Ever since the content of the Florida congressman's less-than-discreet emails to young Capitol Hill pages broke, Democrats have said Republican leadership knew but kept quiet for politics and power, endangering the pages. Today, the majority leader in the House accused the Democrats of endangering pages.
Someone who had this information allowed the 16-year-old pages to be at risk while they were playing their political games, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of who knew what and when.
Want to know more of what Ohio Congressman John Boehner knows? Boehner's volunteered to testify, says he expects to be called next week by the Ethics Committee. Called today, the chairman of the House Page Board, Illinois Republican Congressman John Shimkus, who concedes he knew and tried to stop Foley last year.
I think there's stuff that everybody would have done differently.
A one-time chief of staff for former Congressman Foley has already told the committee he told House leadership about Foley's inappropriate contact with interns 3 years ago. Now this.
If you drive a Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury and need service, there's never been a better time for great deals than right now. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event at your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. You'll find special offers by the truckload on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. All installed by Ford factory trained experts. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now, should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Breaking developments on the heels of the crash of Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle's little fixed-wing plane into a New York skyscraper, killing Lytle and a flight instructor. The FAA late today issued new rules about little planes flying low around Manhattan. From now on, the planes are banned from over the East River unless the pilot's in contact with air traffic control. A corporate Gulfstream jet this afternoon reported to have overshot the runway at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank. A spokesman at the airport said no injuries among the seven on board. Among the seven, confirmed Yankees infielder Alex Rodriguez. Calls out to the Yankees and Rodriguez people have not been returned yet. They call it the lake effect, the snow slamming Buffalo, New York each winter. They call this a record, up to 2 feet this early in the season. There are tens of thousands without power, and Governor George Pataki says it won't stop when the snow stops.
As the weather warms, there are going to continue to be trees coming down, power lines that might be coming down. As power comes back on with flooding in people's basements, they have to be very concerned if they throw on a switch.
At least three deaths in New York State have been attributed to the storm. A frightening discovery along a Florida highway near Fort Pierce. CBS News correspondent Peter King says it appears to be an entire family shot to death.
He says they're Hispanic, probably a family, definitely from somewhere in the South, but St. Lucie Sheriff Ken Mascaro won't say exactly where they're from or where they might have been going.
Because our detectives are following leads in both directions, and I can tell you those leads are multi-jurisdictional. across the South.
Investigators have collected bullets, casings. They're looking for other clues along.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I am yours from 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. This is the day of the week we all love. This is the day of the week we are fleeing into the arms of the weekend. We've been talking about a lot of different things. We've been talking about politics, but gosh, we have lots and lots of other things that I want to get to as well. We have been talking about Doolittle and the revelation today that that Doolittle was trying to get the little woman a job with Jack Abramoff, apparently it didn't come to pass, but these emails have emerged, isn't that interesting, just as the campaign is heating up, and our very own John Poswell, attorney, who lives in Doolittle's district, and is responsible for developing, under the Freedom of Information Act, the information on Doolittle's, what happened to him, his draft status, and so on during the Vietnam War. Well, he was ordered to appear for a pre-induction physical in Oakland, and he didn't show up. He blew it off. And what do you know, just a few weeks later, he gets a ministerial or divinity deferment after all of his other student deferments had run out, and he heads off to Argentina. He says he would have served, but, you know, by the time he got back, guess what? The war was over. Poswell, on his own dime, is going to circulate that information in radio commercials, having nothing to do. No, you know, he's not affiliated with the Brown campaign, but I can't imagine that the Brown campaign isn't thrilled about it. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Oliver in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Oliver.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
I wanted to talk about John Doolittle and his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, I started out, you know, hearing his ads on this radio station and others, and it didn't make sense what his campaign was about because he really doesn't have anything to run on. And then today it kind of clicked for me with how he's attacking Charlie Brown now for the $5,000 donated to him.
Right, by Barbara Boxer, like that's a crime.
Like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, really.
I figured it out now, probably what he's trying to do. And he's trying to do two things. One, he's trying to just run on the party line. He's trying to label Charlie Brown as a Democrat, and he's a bad thing because he's a Democrat, and he's trying to create himself as a Republican and just trying to get people to vote their party line.
He has nothing. He has nothing to vote on, to run on, really. And the only thing that, in the only rebuttal that he had to Charlie Brown was Sean Penn, Cindy Sheehan, Code Pink, and ACLU. That was it, and it was a mantra that went on for 2 hours.
Yeah, the same thing. Just trying to link him with other Democrats, just to try and reinforce his idea that people will vote for him just because he's a Republican.
You got that right, Oliver. I thank you very much for making the observation. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mike in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi,
hey.
Mike.
Hey, Enid, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. yesterday,
when you tell me to keep it up, I feel like Bob Dole on Viagra. Well, never mind.
Well,
yes, Mike.
I can tell you this, you could keep it up better than Doolittle could. you asked me yesterday.
I have no doubt about that. He didn't cut and run. I like my line. He didn't cut and run. He cut and waddled.
Okay. Hey,
yes.
You asked me yesterday. I picked up those Republicans for Charlie Brown signs. Who paid for them?
Yes.
The man's name is Jerry Burns, and he is definitely a Republican, and he's up in the Auburn area. So those reports that you've got Democrats in sheep's clothing are not founded.
Wait, I didn't have those reports, did I?
I heard something earlier somewhere that some Doolittle's people are claiming that these Republicans for Charlie Brown are actually Democrats. But these are real Republicans.
These are real Republicans. Unlike Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's pretending to be a Democrat. he's in his Democratic drag, Arnold is. You know, goes with a facelift. And
these are angry, real Republicans.
Well, I hope there are enough of them, and I hope that the count is an honest count. That's the other thing that nobody's talking about. It's real easy to hack the machines.
Oh.
And I don't think that you've got a man as corrupt as Doolittle. What's one more corruption? What difference does it make?
You're right.
Yeah, I thank you for the call, Mike. 349-1320, Ray in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ray.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I would love to get a copy of that debate and wonder if you have any listeners that have access to them.
Well, why don't you go to the websites, which KCRA.com and News10.org.
I went to KCRA.com, and there was nothing anymore about the debate on it.
Why don't you call up KCRA? Why don't you call up News10? News10's our partner, and see if you can buy one. Or why don't you call go to the CharlieBrownForCongress.org?
I did.
And they don't have anything available?
No.
They should make it available and charge for it, and then that's campaign contribution.
I sent that to Todd Stenhouse before the debate took place, suggesting it so that I, for one, would have already taken a TV
and hurled it at Doolittle.
Pardon?
Nothing.
No,
yes.
I took it down to the Oroville Democratic headquarters so that we could run this constantly, and put a nice sign out in front that invites the Republicans to come in and watch.
Oh,
give away coffee and donuts.
Oh, that would be good. And what else could you give away?
I think that's.
I think you should give away condoms too, because people have been getting screwed by Doolittle for so long. You don't want to get a disease.
Maybe Planned Parenthood will co-sponsor.
Thank you, Ray. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Nancy, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nancy.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I did a little digging around on Doolittle.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I look at everything a little differently because of my numerology and astrology background. But Mr. Doolittle has probably the worst birth path that you can imagine. It's called a 1910. It means that every single lesson has to be learned either again or this time. That means that they grow up very late. He's 55 now. That means he didn't grow up until he was 54 years old.
And so he only grew up last year?
That's when all this crap's coming down.
All right, now look into the tea leaves and tell us what's going to happen in the election.
Well, I haven't.
We already know. We don't. Go ahead.
I can't get his birth time.
Oh.
I can make up a chart, but I have no idea if it's right. You know, other than to know that he has certain things in certain places, and sometimes I can go through and pick out. But I really need the time, and if anybody's got it...
What time was he born?
I get it.
Okay.
But I think numerology tells me an awful lot. It tells me that he has four, what they call karmic numbers, and those aren't good.
Okay.
Those indicate you've got karma from past lives that...
Yeah, well, we're stuck with it.
To get through this life.
Nancy, we are stuck with this man's lousy karma, and we want to karma him right out of this office. So
I want you to
look in the tea leaves, look to the heavens, to the astrology charts, look to everything you can, and call us back with a prediction.
Well, I usually take, if I'm going to look at a race, I do both,
Okay.
People to see who's...
Well, we know that Charlie's the better candidate, but the question is who's going to win, and who's going to win honestly, and who's going to hack the voting machines is another question, too.
That's the one that's bothering me. However, I also did Karl Rove.
Okay.
And Rove's coming to the end. This year is the end of a cycle. And usually when someone hits the end of a cycle, it's major. Okay, because next year means that you're in a year one after you've been in a year nine, and that means things break loose. And, if we could get rid of Rove, he'd walk out the door and he'd be taking the brains with him,
Well, what refer to themselves as brains. Well, he's been very clever, though, I have to say. Well, Nancy, thank you very much for this karmic update.
Okay.
And I look forward to hearing more from you.
Hey, the whole world runs on karma.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Sad but true.
All
thanks,
right.
Nancy. 349-1320. I have to correct I'm being corrected. It is news10.net. Not news10.org, so I stand corrected. So if you want to find out, why don't you get a hold of Channel 10, get a hold of Channel 3, and find out if you can get some of the copy of the debate. See if they will make it available for, maybe if you offer to pay for it, they'll make it available. Jim in Auburn, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Enid. I just want to make a comment about the debate the other night when Doolittle indicated that Charlie Brown's association with... Machine was some kind of a negative. Here's a man, Charlie Brown. I was in the service. I know he's seen young men die, young men injured. Machine lost the most precious thing that any of us could lose, her son. And when she lost her son, she found out that the whole thing was a sham, that this, that the whole perpetration of Iraq was nothing but an ego, oil-grabbing situation. So for him, for Doolittle to put a negative connotation on Cindy Sheehan, as if association with her is something like association with the devil himself, coming from a draft-dodging, well, again, I could go on and on. But
well, but see, that's what's so that is what is so intriguing here, Jim. Up is down, down is up. He drafts. He's a draft dodger, but he pretends to be patriotic and that he wasn't a draft dodger. He has no comeback for the charges, very serious charges of corruption that surround him. And so all he can do is do a mantra of Cindy Sheehan, Sean Penn, Code Pink, ACLU, and that it even works at all is an amazement. It says way more about us than it does about. It says as much about us as it does about him, and well, that this is something that the administration has successfully managed to spin.
Well, the ad that Charlie put out about his knowledge of the situation on the islands, which we know he knew about,
right?
And then they put a negative spin on that is just...
It doesn't matter that he's able to do it with his constituency. He says that his constituents have an IQ, if they have one at all, hovering at room temperature. You know what? We have been getting the politicians we deserve. Now, maybe you and I can see through it, but the people he's talking to, he is telling them what they want to hear. He is talking to the choir. The fact that more and more people are not as swayed, I hope it's enough people who are not as swayed. And so I agree with you, and I thank you for calling, Jim. 349-1320, Bill. In Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Enid. I saw the debate in which Doodoo Doolittle was absent last night at the Center for the Arts.
Oh, yeah, we wondered how that went, because not only was there an empty chair, but he would have been the empty suit sitting in the empty chair had he been there.
Well, they
wouldn't have been an empty
for
chair.
Him there, but, and they had some water there for him with a cup over it, but he was not there. And I talked to Charlie.
Well, there's no there anyway, but yes.
Afterwards, and so far, Starstream hasn't gotten a copy of that debate to him yet so that he can make copies and get them out to the people. And I was going to suggest someone in this listening audience taped. There must be some people who have taped that, and... I would suggest that maybe if they contacted you, maybe somebody could make some copies of this tape or contacted...
I don't know what the intellectual property issues are, but I'm perfectly happy to function as a sort of clearinghouse, and that is anybody who has taped the debate, if you want to let us know about that, why, we'll put it out there. And apparently there are clips of the debate available if you go to news10.net. News10.net, there are clips of the debate still available.
Yeah, they got clips, but they don't have the full debate. And I think that what I want to do is be able to watch the full debate. And I did suggest...
Well, did you call News 10 and ask if you could buy a copy?
I haven't called News 10 yet. That would...
All right, why don't you do that? Call News 10 and report back, and also call KCRA, see if they'll sell you a copy.
Okay. Thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you, Bill. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Let's head over to Mike in Sacramento. Hi, Mike. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to comment about how impressed I am to live in a country where we've gotten to the point where the Gestapo is showing up and detaining 14-year-old teeny bopper girls for what they have to say about Der Fuhrer.
Well, they take it seriously. When you threaten to kill the president, that's then they come and they dispatch the Secret Service, and she made some kind of... I mean, she's only a 14-year-old, and I don't think she realized what the implications of what she was saying, but apparently they investigate all of it. But what is really troubling is they came to the parent's house, and the mom said, I'll have her come right home from school. Instead, they went right to the school, pulled her out of class, and no adult present with her, apparently, or at least not her parents, and no attorney, no nothing. So I don't know what happens as a result melted this, the questioning.
Yeah, but look out, she's got braces.
So what does that mean?
Well, she's going to use them as a weapon. I mean, this girl looks like she's about as intimidating as a pet poodle.
I know, but I think they look at all threats. It's something you cannot joke about. It's not something you can discuss. And that new movie that mixes fact and fiction, where they're talking about the assassination of a president and using footage of Dickey, a lot of the major movie houses are not. They don't want to run it. They don't want to play the film. They don't want to show it.
Well, I think it's amazing that we have a president that's so despised that they have to go around and bust children like that.
Well, I thank you for the call, Mike. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. More of your calls as well. Let's just take Joseph real quickly. Hi, Joseph. You're live with Enid. Joseph?
Enid.
Welcome.
Hi. I'm actually visiting from Portland, and we have KPOJ up there, and I'm really glad that you guys have this down here. I just want to make a comment about...
That was the first Air America station, KPOJ.
Is that right?
Well, the first one that Clear Channel, I think, did anything with. But, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to... Isn't it true that if this was a public debate, would there be any intellectual rights to this? Shouldn't anybody be able to get it?
I don't know. That is really an excellent question. I don't know whether I don't know what the rules are, because it's being filtered through the Starstream auspices. So whether intellectual property rights to it or what? Anybody who's an attorney, I'd love to hear from you on this issue.
Okay, and I just want to tell you, you're doing a great job. You've got a great show, and keep it up.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th. We're going to scare these Republicans to death today. Edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West, who's now among the living, although not probably when she's looking at the Friday traffic.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what's funny is that's kind of scary. I wonder if we all got together, though, and put that on our MySpace, what would happen? I mean, how many Secret Service would come and visit us? Just curious.
Zillions.
Oh,
don't even
gosh.
Go there. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, but it is kind of funny. Anyway, so we've got traffic going on, obviously, on this Friday the 13th. We're at 422, and as usual, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road is nice and slow. Couple car crashes there. Sheldon, Mack Road, Laguna, and Elk Grove Boulevard. That's southbound 99. I-5 at Laguna Boulevard. And John from Elk Grove, he hasn't called me today, but I did get another call from someone else saying that traffic there and the stoplight is just backed up. So if you can keep going on and take the next exit, that might be the best way to go. Enid Live continues here at AM 1320.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
What's yours?
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, then it's you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the fabulous Friday, the 13th edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. We're having a big party here on the deck at the radio station, so everybody's getting pleasantly plotzed on a Friday afternoon. And how can you tell if I am, or, I mean, how can we tell the difference? You know, you got us, we don't know. But anyhow, we're having lots of fun and wish you were here. We're talking about our usual potpourri. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about Doolittle and these new revelations, and that John Paswell on his own dime is going to run TV or radio commercials about Doolittle's freedom of, you know, of his draft history. And anybody who's got a copy of the debate that aired the other night on Starstream, we'd love to know about it because people would love to have copies of it. You can get clips on news10.net on that website. So I want to add to the conversation because we have lots more to talk about, but let's go right to the phones first. Emilio in Carmichael. Hi, live with Enid. Hi, Emilio.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Listen, today I was watching the Fox Channel on television.
Yes.
They mentioned that Air America was folding up in bankruptcy. Is that true?
Air America is going through some sort of a bankruptcy procedure. They say they're going to have more money. They say that it's because of an old debt and that they were in negotiations with whoever, and those negotiations broke down so that they are forced into Chapter 11, but they are going to continue. And we are not Air. We have Air America on our air, but we are KCTC, AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We are Intercom owned. And we continue, and as far as we know, they continue as well.
Well, don't leave. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay, and it's kind of like, remember United? You remember United Airlines was bankrupt?
Yes.
And then you could still fly those friendly skies for years and years and years until they reorganized themselves and came out of bankruptcy.
Listen, I have one comment about Doolittle.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But you know what? Air America is not nearly as bankrupt as John Doolittle.
can I make one comment about Doolittle?
Yes.
He is doo-doo.
Yes. Yes, he is, and very deep, so.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Emilio. Yes, deep doo-doo-doo-little. All right, I've got to share this with you. First of all, here is what Paul Krugman is saying, and everybody's talking about this. He is an economist. He teaches at Princeton. He's like a big deal in terms of, and he writes a column in the New York Times. And here is what he is saying. He says, the conventional wisdom says that the Democrats are going to take control of the House of Representatives next month, but only by a small margin. He says, I've been looking at the numbers, however, and I believe this conventional wisdom is almost all wrong. Here's what's happening. A huge Democratic storm surge is heading toward a high Republican levy. It is still possible that the surge won't overtop the levy. That is, the Democrats could fail by a small margin to take control of Congress, but if the surge does go over the top, the flooding will almost surely reach well inland. That is, if the Democrats win, they'll probably win big. Let's talk about congressional arithmetic. He's saying, you know, it still could happen that nothing will happen, but he thinks that if it happens, it's going to happen big for the Democrats. I don't think he's factoring in that the Republicans will do anything it takes, like hacking the e-voting machines, but hey, every poll taken this month, he says, show that the Democrats with a double-digit lead in the generic ballot question in which voters are asked which party they support in this election. The median Democratic lead is 14 points. And here's the thing, he said, because there are many districts that the GOP carried by only moderately large margins in regional recent elections, a large Democratic surge, one only a bit bigger than that needed to take the House at all, would sweep away many Republicans holding seats normally considered safe. If the actual vote is anything like what the polls now suggest, we are talking about the Democrats holding a larger majority in the House than the Republicans have held at any point since their 1994 takeover. But my bet, he says, the best guess is that the permanent Republican majority will end in a little over 3 weeks. Well, break out the booze, have a drink. Let's hope that that's true. Don't sit on your laurels. Roll up your sleeves. Do something to make it happen. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I want to add this to the conversation. This is a San Francisco story, and those of you who are talk radio listeners, I'm sure have heard KGO from time to time. It's where I got started doing talk radio. It's, you've got to call it top of the line talk, which is what we're hoping that we're delivering to you here on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. But they have been number one for more than 25 years. Number one in the market. No other talk radio station in America is as successful as KGO has been. They have somebody on in the afternoon named Pete Wilson, who is a television anchor, and he's also a talk host on KGO radio. Now, here's what's interesting. When you're a reporter or a television anchor, you are paid not to express your opinions. But if you are doing talk radio, you are trafficking in opinions. That is what you are paid to have. You are paid to have opinions. So how he balances his opinions in the afternoon on doing when he's doing talk radio, and then in the evening when he's doing television anchoring of the news, I've never understood. And for a long time, God bless Pete, I've known him for a long time, what he would do on the radio show would be, on the one hand this, but on the other hand that, and you just wanted to murder him. You know, get to an opinion. We want to know what you're thinking. So I haven't heard him in a while, but he has now finally, P. Wilson has finally shared an opinion, and it's landed him on the front page of the Chronicle today, and has caused a big flap in the gay community. And he is under fire, and then some of the gay community wants him to resign, and here's what it's all about. The controversy come about because a supervisor, San Francisco supervisor, and his new boy is gay, and he's teamed up with a lesbian to have a child. And they're going to move in together, and the child was just born a couple of weeks ago. And P. Wilson says, wait a minute, this is like, he's got a real problem with this. And let me see what his original comments were. He criticized Supervisor Bevan Dufty and his friend Rebecca Goldfader, who were sharing a home and co-parenting a newborn. Their daughter, Sydney, was born last week. Pete Wilson, who said he supports same-sex and lesbian and gay couples raising children, referred to the new child as, quote, an experiment, because the man, Supervisor Dufty, and his friend Rebecca are, I think they're both gay, and they're not in a romantic relationship with each other, but they're just two people who decided to have a child together, and they're all going to live together. The Dufty Goldfader baby is, in my mind, a travesty, Pete Wilson said during the hour he devoted to the topic on air. Or a potential travesty. Perhaps there's a better way of saying it. Later in the show, he said, at some point there's a limit to how far we can stretch the self-indulgent search for the alternative that we have been involved in the last 30 or 40 years in this country. Assemblyman Mark Leno, who was formerly a San Francisco supervisor and who is gay, openly gay, and Supervisor Tom Amiano, who is a supervisor in San Francisco and also openly gay, plan to demand at a press conference that Wilson apologize. Now, some people have already called for Wilson to be fired or to resign. Tom Amiano did call for the resignation of Pete Wilson. Well, you know, talk radio loves this because the more publicity, it's kind of like all the Charlie Brown publicity that he's getting via Doolittle. But my question is, I'm getting confused. And here's why I'm getting confused. When I was growing up, there were only two sexes, girls and boys, and now there are lots of places in the continuum, the sexual continuum, and there is there are lots of gears between park and neutral in life. And I once met a guy who was undergoing a sex change or gender reassignment surgery in order to become a woman so that he could become a lesbian. Now, it's hard to wrap your head around some of these permutations. And I also read about a couple who tried to have children for a long time. They were a straight couple. She inherited some significant money and went through all of it trying to, with all kinds of in vitro fertilization, all kinds of fertilization doctors and treatments and every kind of thing that you could have, and nothing worked. She could never get pregnant, so they used somebody else's sperm and somebody else's egg, and then they had a surrogate carry the child, and just, you know, 10 minutes before the child was supposed to be born, the man and the woman who had paid all these surrogates to fertilize everything decided they didn't want to be married to each other anymore. And here's the kid about to make its appearance in the world. So the woman sues the man for child support, and he says, child support, this is not my kid. So you're in this whole universe of terra incognita. You don't. So here you have a situation of a gay man teaming up with a gay woman. There is no romantic relationship. I guess he's a bio father, and she's the bio mom, and they're going to live together and raise the kid. And Pete Wilson has got a problem with it. Now, when people were, and I'm trying to think, where do I stand on this issue? Well, here's where I stand on it. If everybody loves the kid, then it's a good thing for the kid. Do the parents have to love each other or be involved with each other? Well, here's one woman who says, why not? Raising children often kills the romance anyway. At least this way, one or both parents isn't embittered by the loss of the romance. Somebody else says, where did this idea of children as pets come from? and then here's somebody else, typical hysterical crap from the lefty lunatic fringe. Is there any doubt that a baby is best cared for by two adults, gay or straight, committed to the child and to each other? This narcissistic dehumanization of children as fashion statements or pets by celebrities, including these two, is disgusting. So where are you on the spectrum here? As long as the kid has two loving parents. Now, we have children. I think if you're going to bring a child into the world, there have to be, you know, I don't think it's fair to have to be a single parent unless that's what happens. That's just how I feel. If you know in advance that you're going to be, it's one thing when you start out and you start out as a couple and something happens. A person dies, you get divorced, everything else. But to start out by consciously depriving your kid of one parent, I don't think is fair. And here you have two people, they're not straight, they're both gay, so they're not going to have any kind of romantic involvement with each other, except they might love each other as friends. And they have decided to have a child together, and they're all going to live together. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, it looks like we have a couple of traffic hazards southbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road. We also have one at El Grove Boulevard, a three-car crash there as well. Hit and Run Capital of California and is not disappointing us today. Spangler Drive at Cliff Crest, Stockton Boulevard at Chandler, westbound 50 at 65th, all turning into crashes. Eastbound I-80 just west of northbound I-5. Now, let's look at our weather. A little bit low tonight, 53. Although beautiful, it has been this weekend, all this week, 78 degrees. Enid Live continues. at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, so folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 442 on the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I'm yours. It's a lucky day. The Friday the 13th is always a lucky day. And I think we, well, I'll give you the numbers when we have a line available. Let's go to the phones and to Dale in Rockland. Hi, Dale. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dale. Dale?
Regardless of the sexual orientation or which, you know, whatever they like to do there, it takes two committed people to raise a child. I mean, committed to the relationship and committed to the child, and it's not easy to raise a child.
No, you know, I'm trying to think, where do I come down on this issue? He got into a lot of, P. Wilson got into a whole cauldron of controversy, and I am a big, and I get into a lot of controversy with feminist groups, because I think somebody's got, if you're going to have a kid, somebody's got to be committed to being there. To warehouse that kid is not right. I think you should start out with two parents. The only time you want to have one parent is when a kid is like in an orphanage and one parent is better than no parents. But here are two people, and they apparently like each other a lot, enough to live together, and apparently they love the kid. So if they're going to be committed to the kid, it doesn't sound too bad to me.
Yeah, I agree. If they're committed to the child, they're committed to the same philosophy of raising the child, and they have, you know, a mutual agreement amongst each other about how they're going to do their relationship, then, you know, as long as everybody's on the same team, everything should go okay. But, you know, when you start When things start falling apart and you don't have a committed, you know, structure, whether it's male and male, female and female, whatever it is, as long as you're committed to each other, you keep everything together. Make sense?
Okay. It does make sense. All right. Dale, I thank you very much for the call. So what are your thoughts about this? We have one line open. And my question is, Pete Wilson, they're calling for his resignation. Oh, he's loving this. He's getting all this publicity. Front page of the Chronicle. Tom Amiano says you got to resign because he's saying it's a travesty, that it's sort of like an accessory when you have a child. But the question is, if the woman and the man, she's gay, I think, and he's gay, and she's a lesbian and he's a gay man, and they had a child together, and they're all going to live together, is that a terrible thing for the kid? is my question. What do you? Well, they all love the kid. Maybe it's not so bad. And they all have separate lives, but then they all have a life together as a family. I don't know. I'm confused, but I don't think it's too terrible. I don't think it's as bad as one person trying to raise a kid. I have known people, middle-class women, who just the bio clock is ticking, and they just amble on down to the Nobel Prize-winning sperm bank with a turkey baster in hand, and they decide they're going to have a kid. And I think that is selfish, because I think a kid needs both parents. Ideally, it's always a better thing. Lisa in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi
Lisa.
How are you?
Good.
You know what? I know Bevan. I've met him when we were both doing activist work in San Francisco in the 90s. I think he is a civic-minded fellow and a very decent guy, and I think he has a great deal to offer, especially a child.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's just great.
Well, he and Rebecca are moving in together, and they're going to provide be a family, I guess.
Well, you know, he's got a stable income. He's a decent, stable fellow.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them together had to make a choice to have this child, so she's definitely a wanted child.
Right. They must have really thought it out in advance.
Well, yeah, as a lesbian or a gay person, you really do. If you are going about the process of creating a family that includes children, you do have to work at it. And, you know, we have to think about it a little bit more, and, you know, you have to go the extra mile. So
should Pete Wilson be fired over his comments?
No, Pete Wilson's entitled to his opinion.
There you go.
Frankly, the travesty.
You can disagree with him, and if you don't like it, turn off the radio or go someplace else.
Well, I think his opinion says more about him than it does about Bevan and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. I think if Pete Wilson is saying that a child's an accessory, that's his opinion and projection, not theirs.
Okay. Lisa, I thank you very much for your comments. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Gary, hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine who is a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
who was born with male genitals.
Born with male genitals. Well, you know, I have been reading about people like this who are born with both sets of genitalia, and the parents at birth have to make a decision to decide, is it going to be a girl, is it going to be a boy, and sometimes they guess wrong, and then so they make somebody into a girl who has always felt like a boy and vice versa.
But in this particular case, she was born with male genitals. I asked her, well, why not just stay a man? And she said there's a big difference between gender identity and sexual orientation. She says, I really feel like a woman, but I'm attracted to other women.
Wait. Now, all right, let me see if I can think this through. You said she would, well, then if she was born with male genitalia, wasn't she born a male?
Yes, but she didn't identify as a man.
But she's never identified. All right, so she really has always felt like a girl, a woman.
Right.
Okay.
So she had the sex change operation. And I think as far as the couple is concerned, you know, here we have two loving couples who wanted, two loving individuals who wanted a child.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. I'm excited for both of them.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad to me. It sounds like the child will have a good home.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, I thank you very much for your comments. 349-1320, I think we have one line open. Anthony in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, Enid?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Good. You know, I will say this. Compared to maybe Brad and Jen and all that other stuff, I'm from San Francisco.
Yes. So,
go Niners, right? I've been around gay and lesbian folks all my life, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm straight, but I have children, and I got to tell you, having kids, whether you are 100% straight or 100% gay or lesbian or whatever, you have to love the child. The child should come first. It's very difficult raising children, and more power to them. And as far as this guy Wilson, hey, look who we got in the White House. He's entitled to his opinion, too. He gets people murdered every day, right? So, you know.
Well, at least nobody's dying because of Pete Wilson's opinion, except possibly of boredom from time to time. All right, we're going to leave it there. Anthony, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Matt in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
I just wanted to say that there are plenty of heterosexual married couples out there that should not have children. And until we can rectify that situation, we shouldn't even touch homosexuals.
Well, and you know what else I was thinking about? Because these are because he's a gay man and she's a gay woman, they had to really think about this and figure out how they were going to make this thing happen. Whereas you have people who are doing a little wiggle-wiggle in the back seat of the car, and it happens that somebody gets pregnant. Nobody even thought anything about it. No, nobody thought, do they want the child? How are they going to raise the child? Can they afford to have the child?
Exactly.
So there's a great deal of thought that has gone into this.
Exactly. I think they put probably much more thought into it than the average heterosexual couple.
Well, Matt, I thank you very much for your call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
You know what? I think Matt's probably a good driver, too. I should have him call me back and tell me where he's at, because he's driving really good. Folsom Boulevard and Norcade, we do have a three-car crash over there. North Bend I-5 just south of West Bend 50. Eastbound at 80 just east of Norwood. Spinkler Drive at Cliffcrest. Stockton Boulevard at Chandler. Hillsdale Boulevard at Wallaga. All three and four-car crashes stopping traffic down. Our lows tonight, 55. Highs coming up tomorrow near 82 or at 78 at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job and want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Subliminal, my f***ed up.
If Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
Four on the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. We're talking about a lot of things, but what we're talking about at the moment is Pete Wilson, his comments. You have a San Francisco supervisor, a man who's gay, and his friend, a woman who's a lesbian, and they decided to have a child together, and they're moving in together, and Pete Wilson just thinks it's a travesty or a potential travesty, and I'm thinking that if two people love a kid, I think that's good for the kid. Lisa in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you. You know, I just want to add a comment. No one has brought up quite yet, and that's just in vitro fertilization in general. And the bottom line here, and the root issue, is the child at hand, and making sure that any child is safe.
Well, I don't know how this child was conceived. I don't know if it was the old-fashioned way, or with a turkey baster, or with a petri dish, or what.
I see. Well, even still, I just, you know, on that specific topic, I do feel strongly that if, you know, a couple wants to have a child, a single person, whoever, wants to have a child so desperately and has that urge to parent, that they should adopt. There are so many children out there that have, you know, have no love and no home. And,
yeah, but if they have it, if they decide not to adopt and they have it the old-fashioned way, although it happens that the daddy is a gay man and the mommy is a lesbian, but the child gets lots and lots of love from both and they all live together as a family unit. God bless them is right. I don't have a problem with it. Where I have a problem is, really, I have more of a problem with single straight women who decide that the bio clock is ticking and they're going to go have a kid.
It's a selfish decision.
I think it is. I mean, it happens that it comes down that way. Sometimes it's not intended, but it's really good if a kid can have a mom and a dad. That would be a better thing.
Ideally.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank you, Lisa, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. These are some... people are calling for Pete Wilson's resignation. They want to throw him off the air. Let's see. Tom Amiano says he was among several lawmakers calling for the resignation of Pete Wilson for his comments that he made about a supervisor's parenting decision, calling it a travesty or a potential travesty. Pete says that he supports same-sex marriage, that he supports adoption for same-sex couples and single parents. I support adoption for single parents also, as a matter of fact. He said it may be perfectly fine in Bevan Dufty's case, but is this the direction you want to go? Well, here's what's interesting. You can disagree with a talk host, but if you disagree with them, they have to resign? Don't listen to them. Turn them off or call in and voice your opinion. That is the point. Aaron in Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Aaron.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, you know, no one's brought this up yet, I don't think.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. Another Yankee star, another incident with a small plane, but this time, everyone's okay. This afternoon at the Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, a corporate Gulfstream jet ran out of runway and landing.
We have installed at the end of this runway in question a kind of emergency pavement that is designed to collapse under the weight of an aircraft that goes off the normal runway surface. This airplane did that and came to a stop.
Airport spokesman Victor Gill, there were no injuries among the seven on board, which included Yankees third baseman Slugger Alex Rodriguez. Again, no injuries in Burbank. A continent away, NTSB investigators are still on the scene in New York City, where Yankees pitcher Corey Lytle and a flight instructor died when Lytle's private plane crashed into a high-rise 2 days ago. The crash brought to light standing permission given small planes flying around New York City. They can, providing they stay low and don't stray over Manhattan skyscrapers. But at the FAA, spokeswoman Laura Brown says new restrictions have been imposed.
The FAA is excluding fixed-wing aircraft from the corridor for safety considerations unless the aircraft obtains authorization from and is being controlled by air traffic control.
Lytle's plane was flying the popular corridor down the Hudson, around the Statue of Liberty, and then up the East River when an apparent effort to make a U-turn ended with the crash into a high-rise of luxury condos. Eyebrows from Washington to Tokyo went up today when word leaked out there was no radiation detected after North Korea's underground test, when there should have been had it been the test of a nuclear weapon. This evening in Washington, CBS News correspondent Mark Noller says it would appear it was a nuke after all.
The U.S. government is not yet ready to make an official announcement, but is in the process of analyzing new air sampling data indicating that the North Korean underground blast this week was in fact a nuclear detonation. A senior administration official tells CBS News that the data is now the subject of interagency evaluation, and a definitive determination will only come when all the agencies agree on the finding. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
She disappeared nearly a week ago. A University of Vermont student was walking to her dorm, used the guy's cell phone, and no one's seen her since, until today. The body of 21-year-old Michelle Gardner Quinn was found near a popular swimming spot east of downtown Richmond, Vermont. Burlington Police Chief Thomas Tremblay says they already have a suspect in custody on child sex charges in another case. The guy whose phone she used last Saturday when she went missing. By the closing bell, the Dow had set another closing record, up 13 points to close out the day at 11,960. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was up 11 points at 2,357. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff.
Even with today's high-tech engines, an oil change every 3,000 miles is still the most important maintenance you can do. It improves fuel economy and dependability and helps you avoid costly repairs. And right now at NAPA, you can get Valvoline conventional motor oil for just $2.39 per quart. Plus, buy six quarts and get a $6 mail-in rebate. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. NAPA, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Does a promise come with an expiration date? Is it good for a day, a year, 30 or 50 years? At New York Life, we make promises that have no expiration date. And when we make a promise, we live by it. The promise to pay a claim, to provide for and protect a family. It is why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. Keeping our promises is why New York Life is the company you keep.
One game away from the World Series, the Detroit Tigers beating the Oakland A's 3-0 on this frosty Friday the 13th. Tigers radio voice Dan Dickerson called the final out of the game.
Grounded up the middle. Santiago Fields from behind second throws to first, and the Tigers have a 3-0 lead over the Oakland A's.
Oakland has only one more shot at staying alive tomorrow afternoon in Detroit. Otherwise, it will be the Tigers to the World Series. He smacked two balls into the water on the fourth hole at Augusta Pines. He said his back was hurting him, and while he continued to play for the gallery, he stopped keeping score for the rest of the round. 77-year-old Arnold Palmer, with tears in his eyes, said he's through. He said it's time to stop playing competitive golf as he withdrew from the Champions Tour event. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
If you drive a...
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. It's a lucky day today. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're just getting out of an office, if you've been incarcerated all day long, let me review what we've been talking about and we'll be adding to the conversation. First of all, we started out with an amazing revelation in today's Sacramento Bee that... emails have surfaced that indicate that Deep Doodle was trying to get his wife, Julie, a job from Jack Abramoff, the disgraced lobbyist. Isn't that amazing? And to the man who called yesterday who says he worked 14 hours a day in two engineering jobs and he didn't read newspapers because he didn't have time and it would be a waste of a newspaper and who wasn't informed and who didn't know who to vote for, you know, when Doolittle is on the list of the most corrupt congressmen in America, I guess that's maybe the short answer to the question, why would you want to vote for somebody like that. John Poswell, who's been a great friend to our radio station and to this show, is an attorney and a very successful one, and he, under the Freedom of Information Act, has unearthed Doolittle's draft records and has discovered that Doolittle was ordered to appear in Oakland for a pre-induction physical, and he never showed up. He blew it off. A few weeks later, he somehow managed to get a deferment. He'd already gone through two student deferments, and he had no more deferments left, and Oakland ordered him to appear for a pre-induction physical, which he never showed up for. But miraculously, and a divine intervention must have played a role, because he got a divinity deferment, usually reserved for divinity students and for ministers, neither of which he was, to go to Argentina. And now he says, you know, I was really going to serve, but gosh, the war was over by the time I got back. And some of you have said it didn't matter if the war was going on for 5 or 10 more years, he would have still figured out a way not to show up. So at least be honest about it. A lot of people decided that it was a war not worth fighting and not worth sacrificing your life for, but at least be honest about it. Doolittle is far from being an honest person. John Poswell, on his own dime, is going to run ads on a local little radio station talking about Doolittle's draft-dodging ways. Well, Marlene emails us, and she says, I didn't want to call in with this information and embarrass John Poswell, but no one listens to KAHI. That's the station he's buying ads on to tell the real truth about Doolittle's draft-dodging ways. Why do you think it only costs $500? Maybe you could have... the Swift Boat veterans who slandered Kerry invested a modest amount in ads and relied on major media outlets to run it for free is their way that KCTC could do this. In other words, to talk about, how Doolittle really was a draft dodger. Well, we're already doing that. She said, I was listening to your show yesterday and heard Charlie Brown state that he was headed to Nevada City to participate in a debate and Doolittle would not be present. Instead, there would be an empty chair. Please let Charlie know that I would gladly volunteer to be a wind-up doll at the debate and play Doolittle's part and on cue say Barbara Boxer, Cindy Sheehan, Sean Penn, and Hillary Clinton. I think I could even manage to sound shrill and look intimidated. I think that's very funny. 349-1320-866-626-1320. We're also talking about Pete Wilson getting in trouble in San Francisco because you have a San Francisco supervisor who's gay, a gay man, and he has teamed up with a lesbian, a woman who's gay, and they have had a baby together, and they're all going to live together, and the baby was just born a couple of weeks ago, and Pete Wilson said, hey, this is a travesty or a potential travesty, and some of the gay community is up in arms, and some people like Tom Amiano, who is a San Francisco supervisor, calling for the resignation of Pete Wilson. Well, what is this, Russia? You express your opinion. If it's an unpopular opinion, if it's nothing you agree with, either call in and give him hell, or turn it to come over and listen to AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Jim in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You know, I just want to make a comment about reproductive rights. You know, anybody who thinks that this kind of thing is wrong needs to take a long look at, you know, exactly where do we draw the line? You know, a lot of people want to say that gays shouldn't get married at all, you know, same sex or whatever, because the union can't produce children. Well, you know, there are a lot of straight people who can't produce children. Can they not get married?
Well, there are a lot of people who produce children who wish they hadn't produced children or whose children have turned out to be serial killers or other things. There's that aspect to it.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say, because if we start saying that only ideal parents can possibly have children, we're going to have to start sterilizing a lot of people, and that's just not a road I think we want to go down.
Well, we're not going to sterilize anything except anything to do with the E. coli and the spinach. That's what we're going to sterilize, but other than that, no. So, Jim, where are you? I mean, you know, I'm somebody who, if you're going to have a kid, you better spend some time with that kid or else use birth control and don't have a child. But if these two people are committed to this child, sounds good to me.
I wholeheartedly agree.
I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Bill and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid on 1320. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Enid, this is Bill. I was curious. So is it a number thing with you as far as what's best for the child? Two parents, three parents, four parents, or just you don't like one parent?
I think one parent's not enough, and you need to have a balance. There are things that men bring to the table, and there are things that women bring to the table, and that's why it takes two to have a child, typically. I think it's better if a kid has the alternative between being either a foster kid or in an orphanage or something, better to have one parent than no parent. But if you're setting out, and you set out to deliberately deprive your child of a parent, of the opposite, of a parent, I think you are being selfish. I think you want the experience of parenthood more than you care about the child's welfare.
Any lesbian couple that has a child is de facto selfish because one of them's not a man.
Well, I don't know. I got to think that one through. I think two people are better than one person when you're raising a child. Let me finish. When you're starting from scratch, I think it's better two people than one person. And should they be different sexes? Well, I don't know. When you're conceiving a child, two people of the same sex, once a child is, if you're adopting a child, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, it's kind of, I was trying to follow the logic of what you're saying, because so many things happen. You know, you can have the best of intentions and one of the parents dies. You can have the best of intentions and one of the parents is abusive. So,
but that's different. But Bill, excuse me, let me finish. Yes, that's, but you start out that way and you're starting out with trying to provide a full family. You don't start out with trying to eliminate the family. It happens that along the way things can occur. You start out with a mom and a dad, and one is abusive or one dies or there's a divorce or there's who knows what, somebody goes to jail, but that isn't the way you started out. If you deliberately start out to deprive a kid of a parent, in a single parent situation, I don't think that's fair. I think it's selfish.
See, I think that's a half empty look at the situation. I could turn that around and say, I'm starting out to supply a child with love.
Yeah, well, you're doing a selfish thing if you're just doing it because you want
to deprive the child of a realistic view of it and what you think is proper. But I don't think you...
Well, wait a minute. What's your situation? What is your situation? Are you gay? Are you straight? Do you have children? What's your story?
Only child raised by a single mother.
You're what? An only child raised by a single mother?
That's right.
Where was dad?
That's right. And you know what?
Where was dad? Where was dad? I'm asking you a question. Where was dad?
Ideal couple. And
where was your father?
Who wants a child is not...
Bill, are you filibustering? Were you having a conversation? What happened to your father?
I think it's smacks of a huge amount of...
Bill, wake up. I'm asking you a question. Where was your father?
Father died.
All right, but he started out being a two-parent situation. Is that correct? Yes?
The situation started that way, but it really has nothing to do with how I was raised.
Well, but it didn't start out that your mother deliberately set out to deprive you of a parent.
Moral tenor for the rest of my life or hers?
No, I mean, I'm just saying that in some ways...
What are you really saying?
I'm saying that unfortunately you were deprived of another parent, but it sounded like your mom did a really great job. You're just angry at me for saying something that you don't want to hear.
Enid. What are you really saying?
I'm saying that you are angry with me for something you don't want to hear because you lost part of something that you will never have. You had something else. And so you're telling me I'm wrong for saying or thinking what I think or say or feel. So we can agree to disagree. But I think you're awfully defensive, Bill.
To point out, is there's not a lot of logic behind your opinion.
I think you're very defensive, because I think I've hit a nerve with you and you don't want to talk about it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Here you have somebody who didn't have a dad growing up, and I'll bet you it's been an issue. It didn't start out. His mother wasn't being selfish. It didn't start out that way, but somewhere along the way, it happened. She probably did the best job she could. You can grow up, but there is something you don't have. Now, there's something you also do have. If you have the exclusive attention of one parent, that's a thing that you do have that maybe other kids don't have. And if you are missing the attention of another parent, that's something you don't have that other people do have. So you gain something, you lose something. Is that a fair assessment, you think? Scott in Yuba. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Enid. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I was raised by a single mother, and actually I was raised to fill a void in her life after my sister got taken by her father in a divorce case. And so, you know, you're right about the fact that in many cases, single parents that choose to have a child are choosing to do so selfishly. But I think in this day and age, it's a matter of you really want two parents so that a child can get an idea about the dichotomies of life, you know, about the differences of different types of people. And two, you really want multiple parents just to, excuse me, I got a baby in my arms. You really want multiple parents just to make sure that the child's not being trained, like as an acolyte or being raised for a specific purpose. You know, if you have a single parent.
Well, who would train a child? What are you talking about? Brainwashing a kid?
If you have two parents, you have checks and balances on another parent.
Well, you do, but you also have probably another set of problems as well. But here's the thing. I don't know how one parent does it, to tell you the truth. I have two nieces. They had a mom and a dad, and somebody also lived in. And that still, and then I would be visiting, and my mother would be visiting, who was the grandmother. And it still wasn't enough adults for these kids. I don't know how one adult will do it.
Well, it got a real strong instinctive survival. A real strong survival instinct in my mother, and actually that bled through to me. But in my life, I chose to go with a wife and a father and myself for my child. So,
do you feel that you missed something in not having growing up with a dad?
I would say yeah, but it actually I felt like the thing that I missed was something that I needed to miss in order to grow up better. I think circumstances being what they usually end up being, a parent can do plenty to raise a perfectly good child, whether or not they're a single parent or two parents or, like the other guy said, three, four, five.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, you've got to deal with the challenges that you are dealt. So if you're dealt a situation where it's a single parent situation, that's your situation, and you have to do the best that you can with it, and some people do quite well. But I think in an ideal, if you're painting an ideal picture, it's good to have a mom and a dad.
It's definitely good to have two different types of personalities. And having those two different types of personalities gives your child a broad view of the way to interact with the world. But thank you very much, Gina. I appreciate your time.
And thank you, Scott. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, 1320. Kim in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. I think really all parents that decide to have a child, it's a selfish decision for even if there are two people deciding together. It's just kind of what we do. We want to have a little, duplication of ourselves together.
Okay. But I think it's even more selfish when one person is doing it and an active deprivation of a parent for a kid. You're doing it, if you're deciding to be a single mom, you go to the sperm bank and you decide that's what you're going to be because nobody's in the picture and your biological clock is ticking. I think it's unfair to the kid.
Maybe, if you've got a good support network in place. I mean, I have a couple of friends who have done that.
It's not the same. A support network is nice, but it's not the same.
Well, if you look at, like the caller where it looks like he lost his father as a young child.
Right.
He's suffering from that loss, or somebody else could be suffering from an abusive parent or something like that. These, conscious decisions to have a child by yourself is not going to have that additional issue to deal with. If they've got...
Are you a single parent?
Am I? No, I'm...
Okay, so
I had a father who left without, you know, any trace for a long, long time, but I was fortunate to have a second father come into my life that was wonderful, 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 and I call him Dad.
Well, I thank you very much for the call, Kim. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320, Bob and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I just wanted to give a perspective. I've come from two different perspectives. I had a two-parent family very close to my father. I also was a single parent, and I also work with fathers in Sacramento County. And I think the perspective that we're talking about here is that, yes, I think single parents are very valid and can do it, but I think that you also have to search out other people from different genders. For example, my daughter, I raised a daughter as a single parent.
How is it that you happen to be a single parent, Bob?
Through divorce.
Oh, and you got custody or joint custody?
Believe it or not, yes, I got full custody. It took about 5 years, but I eventually got full custody. But from my perspective is I knew working with fathers within the community as well that I had to find someone for her to associate with. And I think that's the key term here is that if you're going to be a single parent, that's fine, but make sure you give them both perspectives because both perspectives are valid and much needed.
Did your kids have much contact with their mother?
Did the children, there was a long period of time, no. They have a better relationship now. I was somewhat isolated, but I had extended family, like you had stated earlier, that had helped me extensively. Plus, I had friends' wives and so forth that I made sure my daughter spent time with. Because especially when puberty comes in, it's pretty hard to teach a child, okay, this is what a menstrual cycle is. This is how you shave your legs. I couldn't teach her that aspect of life, and I had to search it out. But I think
how many children do you have?
I have two. They're now 22 and 18, well-adjusted. One's in college, the other one just got out of high school and is working, and they're doing fine. But they had transitional periods in their life where I could tell they needed that different perspective. And, of course, my son could relate to me, but even a young boy needs a perspective from another woman.
That's right. And the emotional richness that is developed inside. Well, on the other hand, you know, you develop muscles because you're in a situation where you don't have the ideal that you wouldn't have developed, I think, if you had the ideal. And on the other hand, you don't have something that you would have had if you had the ideal. I don't know if it's a trade-off or it isn't, but it sounds like you were a pretty conscientious dad, Bob. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320, Patrick in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Enid. How's it going?
It's going well. Thank you.
Good. I just want to make a real quick point. I'm for any type of family relationship. I mean, as long as it works and as long as it's for the child's benefit, it can be single parent, dual parents, whatever. But my whole comment is I totally disagree with Tom Amiano and some of the other people in San Francisco calling for Pete Wilson's resignation. I think that is just a tremendous overreaction, and it's just like, well, what happened to freedom of speech?
Well, exactly. I agree with you there. If you don't like it, then call up and register your disagreement, because that's what talk radio is about.
Exactly.
Or turn something else on.
Well, exactly, and
everyone
is entitled to their opinion, and I just think it's like that's politically, I mean, it's just like the thing taken to its ridiculous extreme.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right, and
I happen to be
PC,
a man who has never wanted children, but I respect other people's choices in the matter, and what a lot of the callers that have made comments about it, I can see their point, but. Like I said, I just don't think that. I think it's just like that's totally ridiculous to start censoring people for comments that that they feel that are valid. Why? What happened to tolerating different points of view?
There's something about the Bay Area. There's an underbelly, dare I say it, about the Bay Area that does have that real strong PC element. And if you go against it, they just swoop down on you. Like they are with Pete. Now, Pete, this is what's interesting about Pete, don't quote me, But Pete, because, and here's, I don't know how they walk the line, because he's supposed, as a TV journalist, as a TV anchor, television news anchor, you're paid not to have an opinion. But as a talk radio host, you cannot really be very successful unless you do have opinions.
Right.
And so how he walks that line, I'm not sure. And for a long time, he didn't. I mean, for a long time, he would do the on the other hand this and on the other hand that, and you wanted to strangle him. So now when he finally sticks his head out, and then they want to shut him down.
Yeah.
So, and but the thing is, he's gotten all this publicity, and you know what? I'm sure KGO is just thrilled about that.
Yeah, well, that's good for them.
Yeah, good for them is right, really. It's how you spell your name, I think. That's why we think it's so great that Doolittle is making Charlie Brown the focus and mentioning millions of times in the ads, because that's what people remember. Patrick, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-8 866-626-1320. Bonita in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bonita.
Hi. I was raised by my grandmother and grandfather, so I had both a male and a female, but my grandmother was abusive.
Ooh.
My real father wanted to love me and cared about me, but they never let me know that, and I never met him. And 2 years after he died, when I was 60, my daughter found letters that he had written to me all through my childhood that had been kept from me.
By your grandparents?
Right.
Oh,
so
my God.
In the long run, everybody has problems getting raised by whoever they're getting raised by.
Right.
And we're all children of God.
Right.
And we're all put in different situations to learn from them and to be heartbroken and to learn to deal with life. And so
if I were to ask you, Bonita, let me ask you this. Were you curious what had happened to your mother?
My mother was immature and also angry at my father, and she told me bad things about him, and my grandparents told me bad things about him because there was a culture shock between the two sides of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And after, when I was 60 and my daughter found the box of letters, there was a picture of my father and mother and my father's mother, who had traveled all the way from New York to Minnesota to see me, and I never even knew she existed. I didn't know her name. I didn't know she traveled all that way to see me.
So this was your paternal grandmother,
yeah.
And they wouldn't let her see you?
They let her see me, and they took a picture, but I never saw the picture, and I was never told about her, and I wasn't allowed to have contact with my father. One time I got a letter from my father when I was 12 years old, and it was given to me by the Red Cross because he was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Cross is in the business of smuggling letters over enemy lines.
Mm.
And that was what it was. It was enemy lines.
How old were you when you realized that he died?
When he died?
Uh-huh.
I was 58.
How is it that you didn't try to find him as an adult?
Because I believed the stories about him. Because I thought he'd never tried to contact me except for that one letter, and I answered that letter, and I never got an answer to the answer.
Which you probably did, but no one ever gave it to you.
Exactly. And so I thought they were right, that he was a flake.
Is your mother still alive?
No.
She's
But gone. I was very angry with her when I found out about it. We pretty much stopped talking about it. We stopped talking to each other at that point.
Well,
and what she said to me when she found out about the letters was, well, those weren't yours. You weren't supposed to have those. Well, they were mine.
Of course they were.
They were sent to me in the mail with my name on them.
Here's what I want to say. In the Middle Ages, a long, long time ago, the alchemists were trying to learn how to take base metal and turn it into gold.
Right.
But I think the real alchemy is to take pain and turn it into wisdom.
Exactly.
And everybody gets hit with something. And the thing is, what I'm saying is, you don't want to try to have that something happen when you know that that's what's going to happen. It happens that nobody gets out of this life unscathed.
Right.
And the brilliance of how you live your life depends on how you dance with what you are dealt. So you can be defeated by something, or you can decide to pick yourself up and work through the thing, or you can decide that you will develop muscles to deal with it when you didn't feel like you had very many muscles to begin with.
Right.
And or you develop a kind of compassion, and I like what the Hindus say. The Hindus say you make a deal before you're born into this life to have the family that you have, to go through the things that you're going to go through, because you're here to learn those lessons that only those experiences can teach you, and that you sign on for it in advance. I'm sure, who knows if it's true, but to me, I find it a really comforting thought.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that God is the real parent.
Bonita, I thank you very much for the call.
Okay.
349-1320, 866-620, 61320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a couple of crashes due to hit and runs here in Sacramento. Southbound I-5 just north of Sutterville. Eastbound 50 just east of Howe. Eastbound 50 at Ponderosa Road. And eastbound I-80 at Longview Drive. Twin Cities Road just west of Stockton Boulevard. There's a three-car crash there. It looks like traffic is stopped down back up on a southbound 99. Also, Spangler Drive and a cliff crest. That's in South Sac. We have a hit and run. No injuries, but stopping traffic. Enid Live continues at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken.
It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Did you?
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This
Mitt
is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cache Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit CacheCreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 534 on the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about families, and we're talking about what constitutes a family. And God knows there are plenty of permutations, but the conversation begins because you have a San Francisco supervisor who's a gay man, and he has teamed with his friend, a gay woman, a lesbian, and they have had a child together, and they're moving in together. And it sounds like a pretty okay family unit to me, but Pete Wilson thinks it's a travesty. He's a KGO TV anchor on ABC7 and a talk host in the afternoons on KGO Radio, and a lot of people are calling for his resignation because they don't agree with his stance, and it calls into question what constitutes a family, really. What constitutes the best kind of a family? I mean, you people start out with the best of intentions and things happen, but to start out with intentions not so wonderful, start out to deprive a child of a parent, for example, I don't think that's a good way to begin. You do have some control in that situation. And it has become okay. A lot of things have become okay. One of the things that's become okay is people don't hide their greed anymore. Greed has become better than it used to be, I guess. Used to be that people would be greedy, but they wouldn't parade it around. Now they don't even bother to hide it. They're just greedy. And it's a value that we have come to, I don't know if we've accepted or embraced it, but we don't diss it like we once did. And if you if parents were divorced, that was sort of a stigma. Now single parents, it's okay. I was getting gas the other day at the gas station, and it was at night, and a bunch of teenagers came out, and I'm telling you, they looked so trashy, these girls. They were just hanging out of their clothes and everything, you know, belly buttons, which are the new, you know, midriffs are the new things to show, I guess. And I just thought, God, these kids are probably not older than 15 or 16, and they're tarted out like hookers. And I'm thinking, when did I get to be so prudish? But it just, you know, somewhere along the line became the white trashing of America. It became very cool to be that. It used to be that people looked up to people. Now we look down and we're trying to, you know, whatever's going on the street, we want to exploit that for ourselves. A couple of things that I want to share with you. I want to add to the conversation. This just in. Internal military documents just released, provide new details about the Defense Department's collection of information on demonstrations nationwide last year by students, Quakers, and others opposed to the Iraq War. The documents, which were obtained by the dreaded ACLU, the one that Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle thinks of as an epithet, under a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, show, for instance, that military officials labeled as, quote, potential terrorist activity, events like a Stop the War Now rally in Akron, Ohio in March of 2005. The Defense Department acknowledged last year that its analysts had maintained records on war protests in an internal database past the 90 days its guidelines allowed, and even after it was determined there was no threat. A department spokesman said that the questionable data collection has led to a tightening of military procedures to ensure that only information relevant to terrorism and other threats was collected. So do you believe that? I mean, the scope of the database on anti-war protests is just amazing. This is an administration which, with some luck, in 3 weeks, we're going to have a tsunami of change. I hope that's true. Here's what the Chronicle says about Arnold. Remember now, they so far as far as I know, they have not endorsed a governor. And I was talking to some top people over there, and it sounded to me in the conversation, and I was doing my best to put up a good defense for Phil Angelides, that it sounded like they might be going in the direction of Arnold, who I don't think has done anything except as it approached election time, and here's a flurry of activity. Well, here's what the Chronicle is saying on its editorial pages today. In many ways, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has made an impressive adjustment to political life. Does his homework, as demonstrated by his command of the issues in a wide-ranging interview with our editorial board on Wednesday, except he didn't know where he stood on gay marriage. He said he'd have to get back to the editorial board. And then a few hours later, his handlers called in and said he's for domestic partnership, but not for gay marriage. How is it that this governor didn't know where he stood on gay marriage? He didn't know because he didn't know what he was supposed to say. He didn't know what, there wasn't anybody there to tell him what to say. I mean, that's kind of sad, actually. But at least one aspect of Schwartzy has never left Hollywood, a star's assumption that he can control his image by rationing media access on his terms. Schwartzy agreed to debate challenger Phil Angelides just once in a decidedly bland format and at just about the least attractive time for viewers. Asked about that when Schwartzy was in before the editorial board this week at the Chronicle, the governor thought one debate was more than sufficient. Funny, some public servants think that they have a duty to test their mettle and ideas in front of voters. San Jose mayoral candidates, for example, are debating 16 times. Schwartzy, unlike Angelides and 11 other candidates for statewide office, refused to allow his endorsement interview to be shown on a live webcast. What the Chronicle is doing, and what all newspapers do typically when they decide whether or not to endorse a candidate, is the candidates troop into the newspaper. They're interviewed by the editorial, whatever, the board, the committee, and so on. They're having an endorsement interview. And what the Chronicle is doing is having webcasts so that they, you know, they're trying to make newspapers relevant. And that's a question, by the way, I want to ask. The Los Angeles Times has put a bunch of people together. They're trying to figure out how to make newspapers relevant in the face of declining newspaper circulations. How would you, if you were, you know, put your thinking cap on about how you would make a newspaper relevant. In any event, one of the things that the Chronicle was trying to do is using webcast to show both candidates in the endorsement meetings. Schwartzy, unlike Angelides and 11 other candidates for statewide office, refused to allow his endorsement interview to be shown on a live webcast. Shortly after meeting with us, with the San Francisco Chronicle, he headed for Los Angeles for an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Before the editorial board, he steered away from questions about President Bush and Iraq. On The Tonight Show, he fired off a couple of glib lines to distance himself from the president and his unpopular foreign policy, with the comfort of knowing that he would not be pressed too hard with follow-up questions. In reality, the Chronicle writes on its editorial pages, the governor handles himself just fine in unscripted settings. He brought his chief of staff to his meeting with us, but deferred to her just once for elaboration. In Hollywood, the stars call the shots because they can. Voters deserve better. So I don't know. What does that say? Does it say that they're going to go for, that they're going to endorse Schwartzy, or they're not going to endorse him? The unions are backing off of committing a lot of money to Phil. So it looks like they have decided that he's not going to make it. And I'm really sorry about that because I've criticized the campaign with the intention of trying to get it kick-started. But it really was sad to me to look at the paper this morning and see that the unions have redirected their monies. And it sounds like they have, in some ways they're running out the clock. A new book by a former White House official says that Dickey's top political advisors privately ridiculed evangelical supporters as nuts and goofy while embracing them in public and using their votes to help win elections. The assertions are by the former number two official in the faith-based initiative program, and they have rattled Republican strategists already struggling to convince evangelical voters to turn out this fall for the GOP. And in the case, by the way, of Mark Foley, there's another congressman who went on some kind of a rafting trip with pages who were 17 a few years back. So that isn't looking too perky for the Republicans either. In this new book, the former number two official of faith-based initiatives, who quit the White House in 2003, accuses Karl Rove's political staff of cynically hijacking the faith-based initiative idea for electoral gain. No. No, is that really true? Did that really happen? Anyway, he's going to be on 60 Minutes, and you'll have a chance to hear him for yourself. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, some traffic hazards, three-car crashes along the way southbound 99. Northbound Cap City Freeway just past Arden Way. We have a two-car crash slowing traffic down quite a bit. Madison Avenue and I-80 going into Roseville. Little car crash there, stopping traffic down just a little bit on the right-hand side. And we have a defective signal light in North Sac, San Juan Avenue at Winding Way. That is stopping traffic. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
This Thursday through Sunday.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sam. Los Angeles, Robert Scheer, author of Playing President. This is a man who has interviewed Carter,
run down the list,
Nixon, the first George Bush, Reagan, and Bill Clinton. You've not been granted an audience with the current occupant, have you?
His father was paying the bills, and he never wanted to visit Paris, London, Rome.
Curiosity not as strong.
No, I mean, seriously.
Scott and Sam's mornings, 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five 46 on the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7. We're talking about the usual potpourri, the flea market of ideas that calls itself Enid Live. And you can join the conversation. It's always toll free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We've been talking politics. We've been talking sex and marriage and families and what constitutes families. And who are the tallest people in the world? Dutch, head and shoulders above everybody else. And you know who's number two? You want to guess? Denmark. Number three, Sweden. Number four, the Czech Republic. Number five, Norway. Six, Germany. And we are number seven. The U.S. is number seven. Below us is Belgium, and then Canada, and then Austria. Austria, where the... Austria, where Schwartzy is from, no wonder he went from being 6'2" to about 5'9" or 10". Oh, I didn't share this with you, but I need to do this. Since taking office 3 years ago, Schwartzy has made more than 1,000 appointments to state boards and commissions, and now many of those appointees are helping the governor's reelection by contributing almost $2 million to his campaign. From wealthy socialites with coveted spots on boards to powerful business interests with seats on regulatory commissions to the many well-connected politicos looking for the next job on the ladder, the governor's appointees have provided ready money at a time when new contribution limits have forced fundraisers to scour the landscape for donors. The practice of the governor accepting campaign contributions from political appointees is not new, but critics note that Schwartzy pledged during the recall election to do away with, quote, business as usual in Sacramento, and in his first year in office proposed eliminating scores of boards and commissions. but the sum contributed by political appointees represents only a portion of the $31 million that Schwartz has raised so far, but it is a source of money not available to his Democratic challenger, Phil Angelides, and a tool of the incumbency that the governor has used effectively this fall. Critics point out that Schwartz is taking money from people who sit on boards and commissions that he once targeted for elimination as part of his now-abandoned 2004 proposal to overhaul state government. So he was going to get rid of these boards and commissions, but it's a good thing he didn't, because the people who are sitting on him, he's able to squeeze dough out of these people, and nobody thinks that this is worth discussing. 349-1320. Dickey apparently has no plan if the GOP loses, just like he didn't have a plan once we went into Iraq and they were going to greet us with flowers in the streets and we were only going to be there for about 30 days. Remember that? How many years ago was that happened? A lot of people are increasingly upset, many Republicans, because they think that President Bush and his senior advisors are overconfident about the midterm elections November the 7th. A concern that was aggravated by Dickey's news conference this week. They aren't even planning for if they lose, says a GOP insider who informally counsels the West Wing. Do you think this is true? Now, Paul Krugman is talking today about a tsunami. He thinks that there is every possibility that there could be a tsunami of Democratic victories in the coming election, in the midterms. You know, it might not happen, but there's a very good chance that it will. Not to get overconfident about it. But it looks like they don't have a plan here in case that does occur. They're not even planning for if they lose. The Bush White House has had no relationship with Congress, said a Bush ally. Beyond the Democrats, wait till they see how the Republicans, the ones that survive, treat them if they lose next month. And what everybody is saying is that the next 2 years, Bush's final 2 years in office, if the Democrats really win big, will be marked by multiple congressional investigations and gridlock. Well, I think better gridlock than the awful stuff that this administration has been imposing on us. So gridlock is a plus. Democratic control. Now, the Wall Street Journal, which is a beautifully written publication, only its editorial pages are, very conservative, but the rest of the Wall Street Journal is well-written and always informative. And here's what they're saying, that the Democratic control might actually help the economy, and they conducted a survey. Most economists and the economy would perform best in the coming years if Democrats take control of at least one chamber of commerce. This is according to people who were questioned in a Wall Street Journal survey. So I think that's kind of interesting. And once again, USA Today is talking about how Schwartz has remade himself. His makeover keeps voters guessing about his political allegiance. Well, he's just doing what Dickey's done. And that is they package themselves for the election, and the moment the election is over, they revert to what they are, or they are not. And instead of pretending to be a Democrat, you still have the opportunity to vote for a real Democrat, and that's Phil Angelides. But it looks like the unions are losing confidence in him. And the push is on now to save the down-ballot races, because people are saying that if Angelides doesn't win, it might affect everybody else in all the other Democratic races in California. I don't know if I agree with that, but that does seem to be the conventional wisdom. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, our weather tonight, we're going to see lows right around 55 or so. Highs coming up near 82, and we're at 79 here in the River City. Our traffic, southbound 99 by Fruit Ridge Road, eastbound, southbound I-5 just by J Street. There's a three-car crash just stopping down. And Laguna Boulevard and I-5, that traffic light is always having problems, actually, stopping traffic down and causing a two-car crash. Enid Live continues at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is for Lee Newman and Ronnie.
The color people
13th represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320leftchannel.com.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me.
You and me.
Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7 o'clock. We have to talk about handwriting. We haven't gotten there yet. It's not being taught anymore. Penmanship. Isn't that amazing? Ron and Davis, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, the reason I'm disinclined to vote for Angelides is I feel like he's just another Democratic Party hack. You know, he's a party person. He's done work in the party, worked in government, and not done much else. And,
That's not true. He's had a pretty successful career, actually. Yeah. Who are you going to vote? Who are you going to vote for? Are you a Democrat?
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Lou Malieno. Not a faked nuclear test, but a nuclear fizzle for North Korea. This according to officials within the Bush administration, which may explain the lack of an immediate radioactive signature and then radioactive gas consistent with an atomic explosion.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. New air sampling data undergoing final government analysis indicates that the North Korean test explosion on Monday was a nuclear blast. But a senior U.S. official says the government is not yet ready to announce a final determination, though it could come soon, perhaps over the weekend.
One official said the betting is that this was an attempt at a nuclear test that failed. Officials add there were a variety of tests conducted. Chinese and Japanese governments have done their own air sampling and found no trace of radioactive material. The State Department, meanwhile, has announced that Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice will travel to China, South Korea, and Japan next week to discuss steps to pressure North Korea to drop its nuclear efforts. Members of the U.N. Security Council agreed today to wording of a resolution that would clamp sanctions on the North. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
The resolution demands North Korea conduct no more nuclear tests and returns to the negotiating table, those so-called six-party talks. North Korea would not be able to import any luxury goods or materials and technologies that could be used in its weapons program. Cargo entering or leaving North Korea could be subject to searches, though they wouldn't be mandatory.
The draft, scheduled for a Saturday vote, would authorize non-military sanctions against the North and says that any further action the council might want to take would require another UN resolution. Authorities are still looking for suspects. Suspects had shot two adults and two children to death along an isolated stretch of Florida's Turnpike in St. Lucie County. Sheriff Ken Mascara says investigators assumed the family had been in a car that pulled off the highway and that someone inside the vehicle shot all four victims multiple times before driving away.
Very dark. It could be black or dark green Jeep. It has a paper temporary tag in the rear window, and we do not know if that temporary tag is of Florida or another state.
Killed were a 29-year-old man, a 25-year-old woman, clutching two children, each between 4 and 6 years old. Raiders fans among the Indians, literally. Twice last season against Denver and the New York Giants, Oakland Raiders games were broadcast in Navajo, in the Navajo language, on a radio station in Window Rock, Arizona. They'll do it again in a couple of weeks for a game against the Arizona Cardinals. KTNN has been broadcasting in Navajo for 20 years. Today, the Raiders chief exec, Amy Trask, said, Yati Navajo Nation Adu Azihi. Translated, that's hello Navajo Nation and thank you. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar, this is Susan.
I'm at a gas station in Austin and my brother just called me and he has locked himself out of my truck. I'm standing 200 miles away from him.
Can I have your 4-digit security PIN number?
507.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and send an unlock signal to the vehicle.
That's why I sold my Ford truck and I bought a Denali and a Hummer.
Well, there you go.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
Your vehicle doors are unlocked now.
The doors are unlocked?
Yep.
Let me call the cell phone he called me on. Brett, they're unlocked? Okay. OnStar, I love you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for using OnStar.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Snow plows in Buffalo, New York. Nothing newsy about that, except these plows were pushing up to 2 feet of snow earlier in the season than ever before. Governor George Pataki.
Crews from all over will continue to work through the weekend, night and day, consistent with their safety requirements. But their estimate at this point is that, in all likelihood, it will take into next week.
Tens of thousands were without power, with the heavy snow bringing tree limbs down on transmission lines. Pataki cautioned the end of the snowfall will not mean an end to power outages. He says they'll still come down as more limbs come down. A 43-year-old West Virginia soccer mom is expected in court next month to face charges that can get her a year in prison. Vicki Lynn Sloan's accused of decking volunteer soccer coach Sherry Farron, because Sloan's son was getting shoved around on the field. The incident spurred a new sportsmanship rule that says anyone who acts inappropriately will be shown the door.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
6:05, 5 minutes after 6. Welcome to Hour 4 of the fabulous Friday, the 13th edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. Are you telling 3 to 5 people every single day, even people you don't know, that we are here? Because a lot of people have given up on the AM dial, and we have poster boards, billboards that are up. And even I ran into a couple of them finally. They're sprouting like dandelions all over the place. And we have the sense that some of you are just hearing about us, knowing about us just by seeing the billboards. Because I've had people call in to say that they just saw the billboard, they tuned in, they called. 349-1320, all calls to Enid Live are toll-free. If you're outside the 916 area code, the number is 866-620-61320. They used to say that cocaine was God's way of telling you had too much money, but now there is a new measure telling you that you have too much money. There are designers you can hire to curate your coffee table. I am not making this up. There is no job too small for Americans to call in professional designers and to design your coffee table. I don't mean design the table, but to design all the tchotchkes that go on top of it and on your shelves. And there are designers that do just that. A new group of specialists is joining the ranks of Christmas light installers, closet organizers, and color consultants. This is decorators who arrange the household knickknacks. For hourly fees, generally in the $50 to $250 an hour range, these micro designers, known in the trade as rearrangers or accessorizers, will regroup the potted plants in your foyer or foyer, style the paperweight collection on the coffee table, create vignettes of country-style baskets atop kitchen cabinets, or spruce up the presentation of the family china. If a client's own prized possessions just don't cut it, the accessorizers are only too happy for an hourly fee to shop for new items culled from local design stores and antique shops. Some will return each quarter to create seasonally themed displays incorporating pumpkins in the fall, for instance. What is wrong with that picture? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, that we have come to the point where we are hiring designers to redesign the tops of our coffee tables and all the tchotchkes that go on it. I want to talk about micro something, but it wasn't micro designers. A Bangladeshi economist has won the Nobel Peace Prize. His name is Muhammad Yunus. And he is the one who created a whole system of microcredit. We're talking about micro designers, but microcredit resulting in the Grameen Bank. This is an amazing thing that he started. It was started in 1976. And what he did is he loaned money to people very, among the poorest in the world. Anywhere from, it averages, $50 to $200 total. The repayment rate has been about 99%. So what lender has a repayment rate of 99%? You sign on and your villagers co-sign with you. And they don't get any money until you repay it. But it might be something like you only need $50 or $100 to buy a cow so that you can have the milk and then you have a calf and then you can sell the calf and you can repay the loan. It's something like that. It has helped people amazingly. And it is microcredit loans and it's called the Grameen Bank. Now, what I want to say about this is that we have a system, sort of the same kind of a system in this country, and they're called payday loans, except that when you fall into the clutches of payday loans, this microcredit you're getting, and I think the average is, $350, $300, $400, $500, something like that, where people can't pay, they are charged an astronomical percentage of interest. I mean, hundreds of, 300%, 400%. I mean, it just, it turns into an astronomical way to rip people off. You never hear the term usury anymore. But here is somebody, a Bangladeshi economist, who concocted this idea that has been of immense benefit to everybody. And what we have in our country, interestingly enough, because everything is so for profit here, is a way of giving microcredit to people, payday loans they're called, but you're paying a zillion percent interest, 1,000% interest. I'm not kidding you. People roll over these loans, and before they know it, they owe zillions of dollars on what was essentially a very small loan to begin with. So I'm wondering if we could impose something like this system in this country as well, because sometimes all you need is a little bridge loan, $100, $200, $300 before payday. So he founded the Grameen Bank in 1976, this man who's now 66. He paved the way for helping economic development among the poorest of his nation, particularly among rural women. And it's women who make the most of the loans. He was something of a surprise winner in a large field of nominees that included diplomats who brokered peace deals. But in awarding the $1.36 million prize to this man who was trained at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, and as I said, he's a Bangladeshi economist, the committee said his work showed that even the poorest of the poor can work to bring about their own development. Lasting peace cannot be achieved unless large population groups find ways in which to break out of poverty. Microcredit is one such way. Development from below serves to advance democracy and human rights, calling microcredit a liberating force. The committee noted that women entrepreneurs have been the main beneficiaries in nations where traditional banks often refuse to make small loans or offer adequate service to the poor. So this is an amazing kind of thing. And I'm wondering, has anybody listening, and there has to be somebody, taken out one of these payday loans, where you wind up, if you roll it over, you wind up paying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of percent interest? I mean, it's bad enough when I hear stories about people who are in credit card hell debt to the tune of 31%, which is, I mean, there used to be laws where 17% was, I think, considered usurious, or 18%, I recall. And I never even see the word usury anymore. But these payday loans, which are essentially microcredit, what would happen? Is it possible for a similar situation to take root in this country? Would that? Do you think it would work? Is it something that you've had the need of? Have you ever taken out a payday loan? What has been your experience with a payday loan? I just know that the rate of interest is horrible. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. I really liked this story when I first heard about the Grameen Bank, and that sometimes all you need is just a little help, just a little push. And it isn't only the $50 or the $100 and here for the poorest of the poor, but sometimes just a little psychological push can push you in the right direction. Sometimes just a few dollars can push you and make something happen. And I think where the payday loan business thrives is that people just need a few hundred dollars until the next paycheck, because so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And I kind of think it's going to get worse. The other thing I want to talk about also is I got something. For some reason, I got on Arnold's blast list, Arnold's campaign's blast list. And here is what he's saying. He's saying that what Arnold's people are saying about Phil is, why doesn't he talk, that the Angelides talking points, let me see, why won't Phil Angelides say where he stands on a bill central to his health care promises? And if he doesn't support it, why not? This is what Arnold's people are saying. By avoiding important questions in his campaign promises, Phil loses all credibility on health care issues. The Angelides talking points, that Angelides wants universal health care. Phil will fight to expand health care to every Californian. What's Phil's position on SB 840? You know, I have to say something. I'm not happy to agree with the Schwarzenegger campaign, but when we had Phil on and I asked him his position about health care, universal health care, he sort of did it in steps. And I think that if he came right out and said he's in favor of universal health care with none of these little steps in between, I really think that he would pick up voters, and I would love to hear that too. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Michael in Woodland, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
That's Mikhail, actually.
Oh, Mikhail, sorry.
Okay, I have taken out a payday loan.
Yeah?
The interest is about 13%, and that they're, you know, it's a little outrageous. However, ATMs, if you do a withdrawal from those, and you have an automatic deduction from, what is it called, where your deposit, automatic deposit, those are 10%.
Well, wait a minute. If you pay 13% on a payday loan, I'd be amazed, because what I read is it can be 100, 200, 300, 400. How much did you borrow?
I borrowed up to $300.
And then how soon do you have to pay it back, in what period of time?
On my next payday, which could have been up to a month. But
then how much did you, if you borrowed $300, let's say you borrowed $100, what did you have to pay back on $100?
That would have been about $123. That's if you pay it on time. I don't know about...
Well, then if you're paying $123 on $100, you're paying a 23% interest rate.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not 13%, Mikhail. That's 23%. And if you don't make it, on that payday and you roll it over, it starts becoming astronomical.
Mm. I've always been able to make it. My main question, though, was, you know,
how many times have you done it?
Oh, about 12.
12 times.
But you do get into a cycle of debt.
Well, that's it. And you can't get
it over and over.
It's very hard to get out. In other words, you keep rolling it over 12 times, or do you ever pay it off?
Oh, you have to pay it off, but then you have to take out another one to make it through the next month.
And so you are paying a huge. Are you right now in the clutches? Are you right now in the clutches of the payday loan sharks?
No, I was lucky enough to get a small inheritance, so I was able to get away from it.
So you could pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you wind up owing in the end?
Oh, let's see. No, it was the percentage each time, but you had to do it every month to get back to your starting point.
Right, but you had to pay that enormous interest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's horrible. I don't know how they're legal. It has to be some financial lobby that paid big bucks to people like Doolittle and people like that.
Exactly.
I don't see how that can be legal. This idea that in the poorest parts of the world, you give people microcredit, and the payback rate is 99%. Amazingly. I mean, nobody has that kind of a payback rate in this country. About 99%, and that $50, that $100, up to $200, it transforms their lives. And I think there are a lot of people now, the poorest people are the people who are going for these payday loans, and the people who are the most in need, and they are the ones getting the highest shafting, paying the worst amounts of interest, getting in debt even deeper. It is just a scandal, and I think immoral.
Yeah, I thought it used to be illegal, didn't it?
Well, I thought usury was. But tell me, you were going to make some other point, you said?
Oh, yeah. Most people consider me fairly intelligent. And I do, too. And I would consider myself someone who would think that I would want the leader of the free world to be more intelligent than I am.
Well, you picked the wrong country then, Mikhail. I'm sorry to say.
No.
That's the bad...
Posted about, he was proof that even a C student can become president.
Yeah, C was a little...
But should one?
Mikhail, I think... A good question, and I thank you for asking it. 349-1320. We have one line open. 866-626-1320. Have you ever taken out a payday loan? And what has been the result of it? Could you ever get out from under? Mikhail was able to do it when he finally got a small inheritance, he said. Otherwise, how do you do it? How do you manage to dig out from it? Huey in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Huey.
I've never taken out a payday loan, but I was listening to the last gentleman, and he said he paid $100 at, say, the beginning of the month, and at the end of the month, he paid $123. That's more than 23% interest. That's about 200-some-odd% interest, because if
it
was gone for a whole year, that would have been a huge number on the poor guy.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Explain to me, it's not 23%? Oh, my math is bad?
No, interest is the annual interest rate. So if at the end of 1 month you're paying 23% off of a principal, or 23 bucks off of a principal of 100.
Right.
At the end of a year, figure 23 bucks a month, you know, compounded each month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's way more. I mean, they really are outrageous.
I don't know how they're legal. I don't know how they're legal. And when this guy wins, who is a Vanderbilt-trained economist, his own country is Bangladesh, and in 1976 he had the idea for this microcredit, Grameen Bank, and he gives people $50 or $100 or $200, and the repayment rate is about 99%.
I was actually the benefit of microcredit when I was in law school. I was a very poor law student, poor monetarily. I was actually an okay student, but I was literally out of money one year, could not even afford law books. And there's an outfit in Los Angeles called the Jewish Free Loan Association. Now, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Baptist. I went to them. They lent me $300 for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to buy my books and stay in law school. They did that for me each year through law school, and they lent me money to take the bar exam. And I'll never forget Mr. Goldberg, who ran the Jewish Free Loan Association, looked at me with the bar exam, and when he gave me the money for the bar exam, he said, "Okay, Huey, we've taken you this far. I think we can take you all the way through," you know, and... But they were small loans, very low interest, and I would pay them back each time, but they kept me in school. So obviously I'm not a third world person, but I know the value of those. You know, I have to respectfully disagree with you on Angelidis getting a lot of support if he were to come out for 840. It doesn't poll that well. It polls about 38%.
Well, I remember seeing Dan Walter's column on universal health care not polling so well that therefore you could walk away from it. But gee, I would love to hear him do it. I think it would be good for us.
Well, I think if he came out for universal health care and said, yeah, that my objective is that every man, woman, and child in California will have health care, and that then I think that would be very good for us, yes.
I'd love to see that, and you would save, as a practical matter, by doing good, you would do well, because as a practical matter, you'd save about $9 billion just in the first year it's been estimated. So I would now let me ask you a question, Huey. Have you given back in the microcredit department now that you are presumably a successful attorney?
I'm sorry, say again?
Now that you are presumably a successful attorney, have you given back in the microcredit department?
Well, not in the institutional microcredit department, but in terms of giving back, yes. I went to an inner city high school in the city I came from, and I sponsor several scholarships at that school to pay for people to go to school. But I can't claim to have done anything like these people who won the Nobel Prize did.
Well, it's good that you're doing something. That would be good. You might want to make a contribution to the Jewish Free Loan Society in Los Angeles.
I do that.
You do?
That I do, because those are the folks who made it possible for me to get through.
And you make it possible for other people to do the same that you were able to do. I think that's really wonderful. I'm delighted. I didn't know there was... I have heard of some of these groups, but I thought you had to be Jewish. But they loan it to anybody who comes knocking on the door.
Loan it to anybody, and as I recall, there was either little or there may have been no interest at all. And it was a short-term loan. You got it in February, and you paid it back. Well, not so short-term when you're a student. You paid it back in September. So that paid your fees and your books and stuff.
It gave you time to get a summer job or something.
Right, and it gives you an idea of how long ago I went to law school with those kinds of numbers.
Right. Oh, Huey, thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing from you. What a wonderful story. Thank you. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time out to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have a little traffic hazards going on southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road, 47th and southbound 99. There's a hit and run. No injuries, but emergency vehicles are on scene. San Juan Avenue at Winding Way, we have a defective signal light slowing things down. Lows tonight, 55. Highs coming up tomorrow around 82 or at 79 at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Don't miss this.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonia nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the fabulous Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, and we're talking about a man trained at, he's 66, he's an economist from Bangladesh. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. He was trained at Vanderbilt because he set up the Grameen Bank. And this is a bank for people offering them microcredit among the poorest, and usually women, actually. And I'm thinking about payday loan, our payday loan situation. And Mikhail apparently took out a loan every month, not a rollover. But I'm thinking about our payday loan situation where the rate of interest is astronomical. We don't have anything like this. And sometimes people just need some microcredit. They just need some money between paychecks. And I wish we would have something like that here. So if you've had any experience with a payday loan situation, I really would like to hear from you. Greg in Concord, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Enid, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, I've actually used those payday loans several times, and it's exactly what it is. I mean, you walk in there, and you fill out an application, and they check your employment, and then what you do is you pay them up front for the money you're getting. For instance, the maximum amount that I could get was $250, and their fee for $250 was $37.50.
Oh, my God.
So you give them a check for $287.50. And then what they do is they give you the money for two, you know, if you get paid every 2 weeks, well, then they're going to cash that check on your next payday.
Wow.
So it, you know, it's stiff.
How do you get out from under that? I mean, that's horrible. That's juice. You know, you'd be better off with a juice loan, with the, what the mafia used to do.
It's legalized. Yeah, it's legalized loan sharking is what it is.
That's exactly what it is, and I don't know how that is legal. I mean, I'd like to see this. I'd like to see some microcredit where if you needed, where you know what, you could still make money on it. Where if you needed a couple of hundred bucks from one paycheck to the next, you could maybe get, you know, get spend a you know, maybe if you were charged interest, it was a few bucks of, you know, of interest. Now I don't know if that maybe that doesn't make it so profitable for people to get into, but it's a whole lot fairer, and I don't think people would lose money if they were doing that.
Well, it is a lot fairer, and a lot of people would use it. But you know, hey, when you got to have cash, there that's what it's about. I mean, if you look at it, it is a stiff penalty. It comes out to about 15% for 2 weeks. You're paying 15%.
I think you're paying more than 15%. Actually, I don't think that's 15%. But what do I know?
Well, but that's not annualized. I mean, that's a flat 15% of what you're getting. I mean, I think $3,750 is about 15%.
So when you paid it back, then did you have to re-up again or?
Well, in that particular case, I got out of it. It was just I was running short on that payday, so I had to, you know, I had to just get it to pay some bills that I needed.
And you couldn't borrow it from anybody that you knew?
No.
No, there was nobody.
One of those tough things, so I just had to do it. And then, you know, but sometimes you have to do those things, and you know, those guys are there for that. And you just can't go to every payday loan place in town and do it, you know. That, you know, but sometimes you got to do it, Enid. I mean, that's just the way life is.
Well, I do know that, but I think, you know, I was contrasting those payday loan places with the Grameen Bank, and I thought, you know, we have really got it wrong. Greg, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. Katie Couric was looking for sign-off phrases, and she's already gotten 50,000 people who have sent her suggestions. You know, she should think of her own sign-off. What does she do? They have all this free speech segment on the CBS News now, but if you really want to express your free speech, as Bill Maher did, excuse me, and talk about religion, they tell you you can't. So how free is that speech? I want to move into something that interests me greatly. Well, first of all, I've been promising this, so I have to talk about it. Did you have to sit through class learning penmanship, Bunky? I did, and a lot of people did. But not anymore. The computer keyboard has helped to kill shorthand, and now it is threatening to finish off longhand. When handwritten essays were introduced in the SAT exams for the class of 2006, only 15% of the almost 1.5 million students wrote their answers in cursive. The reason, the rest, they printed in block letters. And they don't know how to do cursive. They just know, how do you do a signature if you can't? I guess they only can do their signature in cursive. But the rest is block letters. Well, I could understand doing block letters on an essay because it would be more legible. So I don't know if that necessarily means you can or can't do cursive. But these college hopefuls are just the first edge of a wave of U.S. students who no longer get much handwriting instruction in the primary grades, frequently 10 minutes a day or less. And as a result, more and more students struggle to read and write cursive. Many educators shrug, stacked up against teaching technology, foreign languages, the material on standardized tests. Penmanship instruction seems a relic. Teachers across the region say, but academics who specialize in writing acquisition argue that it is important cognitively, pointing to research that shows children without proficient handwriting skills produce simpler, shorter compositions from the earliest grades. May I tell you, you know, your goddess started out life as a writer, and I like to think I continue it that way, but I don't. But I know that when I'm writing, there's something to do with when you're writing and the way your brain works, that if you are able to, some of the essays that I, some people, everybody does it differently. Some people go immediately to a computer. Other people write long, long novels in longhand. And they transcribe them, and they have secretaries or assistants helping them to do that, or maybe they do it themselves. I don't know. I often start essays and so on in longhand, and then I move to in the old days a typewriter, but now a computer, but it has to take root. There's something about the writing and how it engages your brain. The loss of writing, they say, also may be a cognitive opportunity missed, and I believe that. The neurological process that directs thought through fingers into written symbols is a highly sophisticated one. Several academic studies have found that good handwriting skills at a young age can help children express their thoughts better, a lifelong benefit. Children who don't learn correct technique find it harder to write by hand, and so they avoid it. Schools that do teach handwriting often stop after the third grade, right after kids learn cursive. By the time computers are more widely used in classrooms for writing, perhaps in fourth or fifth grade, many children have already decided that they do not like to write. One teacher found that In giving handwriting instruction to a student three times a week, after 9 weeks, they had A, doubled their writing speed, B, their expressed thoughts were more complex, and C, he also found corresponding increases in their sentence construction skills. So if you look at some of that old-fashioned writing from the 1800s and 1700s even, some old historical documents, you see them in museums and old books and so on, The writing was gorgeous. Wow. I mean, it was almost like calligraphy, really, what we would call calligraphy. So it's another thing, biting the dust. Newspapers are biting the dust. Nobody can add and subtract anymore because everybody has calculators. So if, God forbid, the power goes out at someplace in a shop, they cannot make change. Nobody knows how to count back the change. Typewriters, forget that. Carbon paper, thing of the past. Those are ancient. That's all ancient history. People aren't reading newspapers anymore. That's becoming an ancient technology, too. I mean, it's really all changing. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Taylor in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Taylor.
In it. I just thought I'd explain that payday loan sharking situation. I'm sure that the people don't really pay attention to the statements, but when you go in for a payday loan and they fill out your first contract, they will put on an annual rate of 459%. And what happens is, say someone gets paid every 2 weeks and you get $300. Well, you write your check for $300, they get back $255, and the company keeps $45. But in 2 weeks again, you have to redo that. So at the end of a month, you've now paid $90 on $300. And it just goes on and on and on. And then you can get multiple payday loans at the same time, to the point where you may end up, during the month, most of your check is going to take care of your payday loans.
Have you done this, Taylor?
Yes, I have.
Did you get out from under? And if you did, how?
Yes, what you have to do is you either get a respectable loan from someone else or refinance your house or whatever, but you pay that sucker off or those items off, and then you never go back because it's a vicious cycle. I know a friend of mine, I actually did it for so long to where each month I was paying $450 a month to keep them going. And so when I got out, I was done with it. But I had a friend, she got out, then she went right back, and she's now back to where she was before. But at the end of the year, you could easily pay $400 and some odd off of that original $300 loan.
Oh, God.
It's awful.
Oh, it's horrible. It is horrible. I thank you for the call, and I'm really glad you're out from under. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320, Carl and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Carl?
Hello?
Hi, welcome.
Oh, yeah, this is Carlos.
Yes.
I use payday loans, and the terms are onerous.
Right.
But what happens is if you have credit cards and you go overdue on your credit cards, they charge you like enormous interest on your credit cards, and then it's recordable, and it ruins your credit. So I used payday loans on a short term basis to make sure that I didn't go overdue on my credit.
And payday loans don't show up on your credit reports the way a credit card debt does?
Yeah. And so like that, I was able to keep my credit good. And then the next thing I did was, as I needed to make sure that my credit looked good so I could get a loan for a house. But once I got a loan for a house, then I went ahead and took out a second on the house and paid off some debts.
So you were finally able to get out from under the payday loan situation then?
Yeah. In other words, I think they're okay, and I know that they charge you horrible credit, in other words, horrible interest.
Right.
But if you use them properly, I think they can go ahead and pull you out of an emergency.
I think they. I think well, maybe you're one of the few few who could make that claim. But I think for most people, it pulls them under into a horrible quicksand that they can't get out of and can't breathe through, and it is hugely costly. I don't think they should be legal. If you have these payday loans, I think we take a lesson from the Grameen Bank. But maybe there isn't enough profit in it to interest people. Carl, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the wildly profitable and fabulous Friday, the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa Webb.
How profitable is this Friday the 13th? Just curious.
Well, we think you always get a little something. We like to leave you with a little something with every program, but maybe it's just wishful thinking on our part.
Well, no, actually, I wish that I got paid what I get from the show, because I would be flipping rich.
Oh, aren't you nice? Oh, we like that version, Lisa.
Thank you, darling. How about this version? South Bend 99, looking good, people. Coming northbound Cap City Freeway, just past Arden Way, there's a three-car crash, but traffic's going about 55-60. And it looks like Roseville, Madison Avenue, and I-80 going into Roseville, there's a three-car crash. Enid Live continues on this Friday, 13th edition of Enid Live at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left-handed listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LeftChannel.com.
Wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
On the Fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7. It's the Fabulous Friday, the 13th edition, and a lucky day. Do you know, somebody told me a long, 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 long time ago that all days for me that add up to 4, a 22, a 4, a 1, and a 3, a 13, were lucky, and you know what? She was right. Now, I don't know if this sort of one of these suggestions, what do you call it? Not hypnotic suggestion, but like a placebo kind of a suggestion, and you just to decide it's going to be lucky, and this is a really lucky day. Aren't we lucky to have each other, and we're having so much fun? We're talking about penmanship, we're talking about microcredit, 349-1320-866-626-1320. Let me throw this into the conversation, Republicans. God help them. Here's a congressman who's running an ad. He's a Republican. He's seeking re-election. He apologized for his affair, but he denies that he strangled his mistress. I only had an affair, but I didn't strangle my mistress. Susan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Am I on?
You are. Welcome.
Well, I want to tell you that I've been a registered nurse for 20 years, and I have seen some egregious errors made from physicians' illegible handwriting, some of which have resulted in near death, especially in the intensive care unit. And when these physicians are questioned or called and asked to clarify their writing, they get very snippy and put out. But the other side of this story is a lot of these physicians are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, which means they had penmanship classes.
And it still didn't help them. Well, docs always had the reputation for having the worst handwriting.
Well, they're just lazy, and they're writing fast, and they don't care.
So are there classes for docs on how to do this so big, because it's a question of life and death in some cases?
No, there are not classes, and they have been counseled and still refuse. The good news is that a lot more orders are being written on computers.
Right.
And so they, of course, are legible when they're spat out from a computer printer. But for many, many years, it was completely by handwriting, and it was very dangerous. I mean, as you can imagine, even a milligram off of a medication can have very serious side effects. And it wastes a lot of the nurse's time when she can't read it to call the doctor's service, wait for him to call back. Maybe he's at a crab feed. I mean, it slows the whole procedure down.
Or maybe he has the crabs. I don't know.
Or maybe he is a crab. So anyway, I think that poor penmanship can have very serious side effects and sequelae.
Well, nobody's teaching it. It's not being taught in school the way it once was.
Well, but look, it was taught 50, 60 years ago, and people still couldn't write. I mean, it's a personal, I think.
Let me ask something. Now, in your field, in the medical field, it has huge ramifications. But let that aside. What is lost? What is lost if you never learn to write cursive, if you only learn to print in block letters? Is there something lost? Is there something gained? Is it forget it? We have way too many more important things to consider. What do you think?
I think that a lot is lost if you are a creative and artistic human being, but if you're a dullard, there's no problem.
Well, you'll be lucky that you can print, period.
Right.
You know what is what signals that something very fancy is on the horizon is when you get a calligraphied envelope.
Yes.
It means a big, some extravaganza you are being invited to, usually a wedding, when the envelope is calligraphied. And I noticed that all titles have gone out the window. Nobody says Ms. Or Mrs. or Mr. on any correspondence. Hardly any business correspondence has an honorific with it. Unless you're a doctor or somebody, then I suppose you know the title's used. But
right.
But I hardly get anything from anybody that says Ms. or anything. It's just it all comes to Enid Goldstein.
I demand it. I mean, all my magazine subscriptions, everything says Ms. or they don't get my business. But don't you feel...
But what about your correspondence from friends and stuff? A thank you note, a note. If you're lucky enough to get something that's actually addressed by a human hand, and I'm, you know, we're coming into the season of Christmas cards.
Right. It's mostly email, Enid, and I, too, write very few Christmas cards. And I consider it a special honor when I get a beautiful, artistic, handwritten card that somebody took the time to actually write on, and if it's in beautiful handwriting, it's even better.
I have a tip for people who are trying to stand out, whether it's in terms of getting a job. I have two tips, and I know you're going to think I'm really quaint, but I'm going to take a chance and say them anyway.
You're just a romantic.
I'm cynical also, though. It braces the romanticism, huh?
You can be a cynical romantic.
I guess I am, probably. I oscillate between the two poles. But in any event, I think two things. First of all, when all else fails, good manners, and because there's so little of it now, available will get you through a lot of things. And the people who in business are said to manage up well, I think not only exhibit good manners, but not just the fake-o-matic, going through the motion, good manners. They just know how to handle their bosses well, deal with their moods, and do that kind of stuff. You know, part shrink, part life coach, part good manners. It stands out. And the other thing is, because nobody is we hardly are getting handwritten letters or anything from anybody anymore, because it's so slow and all of that. That when you do, it really stands out. So if you're a job applicant. I know it's probably so transparent to write a note to somebody who's interviewed you, but I think it probably will work in your favor. Even though everybody knows it's all fairly transparent that you're trying to snorkel your way into the job, but still.
I think it might separate you from the rest of the pack.
Well, the Wall Street Journal did a thing on these job interviews, and one guy was really being actively considered for a job. And they took him to lunch at a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant, and he eats the fortune cookie with the fortune in it. And and you know what he does? He pulls out the fortune. Guess what? He didn't get the job.
Good. That's good. But I think what you're talking about with bosses is the difference between having psychological people skills and having manners. I also happen to think a lot of people have never been taught manners. And if you go into a department store and you meet these young women at the cosmetic counters, they are smacking their gum like cows. And I wonder what are their mothers teaching them? And it's just basic manners. I open the door for older women, especially seniors. I mean, there are just manners that
I think we need to do a show. I have to. I'm making a confession, although I don't think it's new news. But I have collected old etiquette. I used to collect old etiquette books, and because, first of all, they're interesting. Secondly, they tell you how much things have changed. And sometimes you can get a lot of great material out of old etiquette books. And because I was always interested in it, but I think we ought to do a show on egregious etiquette failures, because I think people could tell us lots of things. I mean, I don't even think there's such a thing as etiquette anymore.
Can I tell you my worst nightmare manners observance?
Yes.
I was out to dinner with some muckety mucks at the company I work for, very, very well-paid executives, and they were talking and chewing with their mouths full, and you could see the food sloshing around like a washing machine while they were talking.
Oh.
It was disgusting. And they were being paid, you know, a couple hundred grand a year.
To act like ambulatory Maytags.
No, but, I mean, who taught them their manners?
No, well, apparently nobody, nor was it anything necessary in climbing to the position that they now hold. Interestingly enough.
It doesn't matter, Enid. Manners no longer matter in the corporate world.
God, Susan, I hope you're wrong about that. But you know what? We're going to talk about that. We're going to put it out there. We're going to have a whole show, but we have to take a break now. I do thank you for the call.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the fabulous Friday, manner-filled, unmannerly, Friday the 13th edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the mannerly Lisa West and from the left.
Yes. Darling, thank you very much. Our traffic is very superb as we go down the ambulatory Maytag highway.
Did you say superb?
I said superb.
Oh, my goodness.
Love Southbound 99. Just a gorgeous, darling. Not even normal like it usually is. We're coming on Northbound Cap City Freeway, Arden Way. Three-car crash, stopping down. Enid, the most fabulous live, coming to you back at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Are you struggling?
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of hysteria? Let's upload on all my
whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Afternoon caffeine break. It's Eat It Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the fabulous Friday edition of Enid Live. Let's do this very quickly. We don't have much time left. Carol in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was just going to comment. I had heard Beyonce, and I forget her name of her partner, but when they were going to go to England and that they sought out some person to give them private lessons so that their manners at the table were passable. And she said that they really invested numerous hours in learning the correct manners.
Beyonce and Jay-Z, we think.
Excuse me?
Jay-Z.
Yes. And so, you know, I mean, people do know that, you know, there are certain things that you have to learn. But I just wanted to comment on manners. My big thing is in the food stores when you have the bulk bins and someone sticks their hand in it. And usually, since I always go to these bulk bins, I find it's more men that do that. And I've had men actually go off on me when I say, why can't you just use the scoop? And, you know, he says, what are you, the police? Are you the kid? I mean, that's really how they would do
it. Oh, it's the, you know, it's not the bulk bin, it's the bulk cootie bin.
Yeah, that's what it is.